listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
This that long-ass morning break where we go for like 38 minutes in a row before we go to break, but stay with me. I will not be talking loud. Yes, I will be talking loud this morning. I missed my hug as I came into the studio. I normally get a hug, an emotional hug, somebody just to tell me you can do it hug, so that I can come in here with JK and Gunzo Thursdays. Good morning, Gunzo.
Good morning, Don.
JK, real rap.
What up, baby?
Sit your ass up in the chair, man.
Don, I'll give you a hug after this 38 minutes.
Yeah, I ain't hugging you, Don.
That's going
to
be weird.
Stay there. Good morning. The phone line's going to be wide open today. 321. 339-1055. That's the number I want y'all to call. 321-339-1055. If you don't want to do that, head over to the open mic. Drop me an open mic. Head to the app store. Grab the app. Press that button that says open mic. You get 30 seconds to tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what's on your mind. What's in your spirit this morning. As we tune in again to another edition of this damn Don Miller Show. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, man, I got a lot to get to today. I want y'all to just keep me in y'all prayers today. I got something I'm going to debut tomorrow on the show. Many of you gave me great ideas to pick up a hobby a couple of weeks ago. Jay Kane said I should collect marbles. No, I didn't want to do that. I went on Amazon, and marbles aren't cheap like they used to be. Okay,
so cigars isn't a good enough hobby for you? It doesn't keep you relaxed enough, occupied?
So I looked at the marbles. A bag of marbles, high as giraffe vagina.
How much?
They're expensive. That's what I meant by that.
No, I knew that, yeah. Okay.
So I said, no marbles for me. And so I decided to pick up. I did pick up a hobby. And I'm looking forward to showcasing, debuting my hobby on the show tomorrow. So again, I got a lot to get to. Want to hit something in the news yesterday, and I don't know. I want to know. It makes no sense. I've never heard of this.
That's
I've heard of some really interesting stuff. I remember a few years ago, Secret Service detail went somewhere and bought some vagina and got caught. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Remember the Secret Service group went over
it
there?
It happened.
Yeah, that happened.
Well, Secret Service went over there somewhere and bought some vagina.
That's normal, man.
And then PTL paid the lady. And that got out, right? But yesterday, breaking news at one of the highest security locations in America, Joint Base Andrews is where the president and the vice president and the highest level governmental officials fly out of near D.C., correct, Jay?
Yep.
And it is one of the highest security facilities in this country.
Okay.
So Secret Service guy shows up for work yesterday, kind of discombobulated, and gets into an altercation with his superior and is then Baker acted and taken away. These Secret Service.
Baker Act.
This detail, yes, Baker Act. Hey, Holly Holloman. This detail was the detail for the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
How unusual is it that the Secret Service gets into a fight with the Secret Service? And they took his gun, they handcuffed him. What's going on?
That happens. It's probably not.
It's another day in the Biden administration.
No, because it happens. If you think that people don't have infighting within agencies or the military, then you're tripping. Like, it's just, it got out. It's the problem.
But him going to the hospital.
That hit you.
Well,
I'm just saying the fact that it got out is the problem.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah. It happens. It happens.
Really?
Yes. To that extent, too?
It happens.
It happens. That they get into a fight and the guy gets carted off and taken to a mental facility.
I mean, I've seen people get handcuffed and sent to the brig. So it happens.
Wow.
Like I said, it's the fact that
how would this get out? Now, that's a secure facility. How would this get out unless they wanted it to get out?
No, I'm not saying they wanted to get out. Okay. I'm not saying that part. I'm just saying that.
We're only told what they want us to hear.
This scenario isn't uncommon. It's probably happened a million times over that you never heard about.
Right.
Right. For whatever reason, they allowed this to get out.
Okay.
And then when you look at the gravity of it, oh, it was Kamala Harris's detail. Mm-hmm. They was at this facility and mm-hmm. all these other different variables.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to
that. I'd like to know the real story about
that. Yeah, because when they're talking about this guy basically sounding like he's psychotic at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, you think they're making that part up, or you think that actually happened and they're trying to figure out what's going on?
I'm looking forward to Dan Bongino's take on this today. Dan Bongino is a retired Secret Service agent, presidential detail guy, and he's open about a lot of stuff. So I'm looking forward to his take on this today, because it's just, to me, maybe it's the time.
How much do you think he's going to say about it? You think he's really going to go?
No, if you watch Dan Bongino, he... They've had to tell him to shut up.
He
puts it all out there. But I just think, I find it interesting. Mm-hmm. And I guess the conspiracy theorist in me is probably at a level it's never been before, because mm-hmm. I'm seeing the blatantness of some of these behaviors. Blatant, like, I'm seeing stuff, I'm like, damn, that's pretty blatant.
How do you explain yourself out of this one?
I'm seeing a level of blatant behavior. I know from people that's close to this situation that probably in the history of the American vice presidential position in modern times, Vice President Harris is the most disliked of all. She's continually going through.
So that's not just me, huh?
No. You don't even. These are people who work there.
I can only imagine.
She's gone through many staffs. I've had three friends whose children have worked for her, and one of them lasted a week.
Well, when you're with someone like that all day, every day, you know, for the most part, the real.
I don't know. I just think there's a lot of pressures involved in all of this. And when you are working at that level, In this environment, just the entire political environment, I can imagine the level of pressure. You know, if you're traveling around with somebody, you fresh out of college, you get this good job.
Well, you think it's a good job.
Huh?
You think it's a good job.
Yeah, you think it's a good job. And then all of a sudden, the person that's in charge is just not nice. And I've heard that from, that's just not nice. Like, you ever met that light-skinned girl and... Let me just stay with me, Jay, because Jay knows one story I'm going with this, right? Who is moved up to the highest level in the company, not because of her abilities.
Well, because of her abilities.
Oh, yeah, Jay, damn, right. Because of her abilities, but not her abilities.
You're correct.
Right. Okay.
Different abilities.
And these are...
Her disabilities. That her
And these are the type of people, right, that generally have these type of attitudes. Like, you ever go somewhere and somebody didn't even earn the spot and they worse than the people who didn't earn the spot?
Super egotistical, like.
Yeah, like, I'm supposed to be in this job. You're not really supposed to be in this job.
Yeah, but it happens.
You talk to them for 5 minutes and you're like, how did you get
this job? Right. I just talked to a guy the other day.
How did you walk out of the house this morning?
I talked to a guy the other day, and I'm telling you right now, his resume was made up. Somebody made up his resume. AI. He got an AI resume because he sounded like a damn fool. And he was spewing off where he went to. Ah, he went to this school and that school. And, you know, and then he's using words that ain't even a word.
That's not even a word.
That ain't even a word. But you went to all these schools. Yeah, man. I went over here and, I'm like, no, you didn't. Check AI resume. That's my next. That's my next project. I'm going to start doing AI. I'm going to create fake jobs, have a bunch of ass phone numbers. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Put all these phone numbers on your resume. If somebody called a number, it's going to answer, and it's going to show up. Hey, somebody's calling Amalgamated, Management Services, right? It'll show up, so you answer the phone. Hey, Amalgamated Management Services. Yeah, I'm checking on a history of Michael Gonzalez. Oh my goodness, we were so upset to lose Michael. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing worker. He did everything we asked him to do. Well, when did Michael start on? Michael started on May of 2007, and he stayed with us up until recently. It was a wonderful, wonderful time to have Michael at Amalgamated. Oh, thanks so much. Click. And then they're going to call over here to Acme Direction Services. Hey, Acme Direction Services. I'm checking on the resume of Michael Gonzalez. Oh, Michael was an amazing employee up until boom, 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 right? And this is a whole system you got set up, okay? Then they're going to call Strayer University, right? Good afternoon, Strayer University. This is Mr. Miller speaking. I want to check on the master's degree in applied mathematics. Yes, okay. And can you give me the student's name? Michael Gonzalez. Oh, my goodness. Michael Gonzalez graduated cum laude. Yes, he sure did. He was a great student. Looks like he did volunteer work.
They send you a copy of the fake
700
diploma.
Hours of volunteer work. Oh, my God. Really? Yes. Well, listen, I'm telling you, with alumni like Michael Gonzalez, it gives us.
Are you doing your wife voice right now?
That's my wife voice. Hey, come! Can you imagine how easy it is to fake it now?
Well, yeah, and then they send them a fake diploma. And, they're not going to check that. Just be like, oh, cool.
And Jay is HR for 20 years.
Mm.
They're getting up. They people.
You know there's a database you could verify degrees on, right?
Yeah,
you
don't but call. There's also AI.
You don't call.
But there's AI.
You don't call.
You don't think AI could trump the database?
No.
Really?
But do you think a lot of people are still checking for those degrees now? You think?
I mean,
just,
no,
you know,
it depends on that's on company level. By company. Yeah. It's definitely going to depend on the level that they're checking for.
Okay, so
every HR department is not
what about like equally if, now. If I apply for McDonald's, you think that's a big deal or?
Depending on what you're applying for at McDonald's. People sleep on McDonald's. There's six-figure salaries over there at McDonald's, some of them positions now.
Really?
Hell yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, not in the drive-thru.
I mean, we ain't talking about the drive-thru.
Oh, okay, I'm like,
nah,
I'm
not like that, sorry.
I'm going to leave right
I'm
now.
I'm out.
No, we ain't talking about the drive-thru.
Corporate stuff,
let's be
yeah.
clear. Yeah, the corporate side.
Give us a call, 321-339-1055. It's just amazing when you see turnover and the type of situation with the Secret Service agents, which is one of the hardest jobs to get.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It is like, no, it's real.
It's tough just to get with the agency, period.
Period.
Right.
Yeah. The secretary answering the phone at the United States Secret Service then had a background check on the background.
A few.
No, I had an interview with them in 2012.
And what happened?
I decided to stay on active duty.
Oh, okay. Mm. So then there's like, Jay, are we running?
Oh, no, I won't go be no agent. I ain't taking.
We're going to go back to Philadelphia to your old neighborhood.
Oh, no.
Well, then they interview all your friends and family.
Well,
and
that's
then
different clearance levels.
Yeah, so yeah. Like,
the clearance level I would have needed.
They'd be like,
nah.
Y'all know Jay?
Nah.
Jay, do we know Jay?
Nah, I wouldn't have done that to myself.
We know Jay. And Jay used to hang out with Skeeter. Yeah, that Jay. What Skeeter did? Jay's hanging out with Big Black. Yeah, what Black at? Dead.
So we ain't got, racist.
We ain't got nobody we can ask about Jay. No, they all dead.
Nah.
What about you? I'm dead.
Nah.
Give us a call, guys. Jay, you know what I'm saying? It's like going back to my hood.
Nah, that's not
going to
happen.
Going back to my hood. I was at my mama's funeral, and my old buddy was talking to us, and he wouldn't open his mouth, man. And somebody asked me, why won't he open his mouth? And he had no one tooth, like a sweet tooth, right in the middle, man. But he was out there on that thing.
Yeah.
That thing beat your mouth up. That thing beat your mouth up.
Well, you don't
you
say
ain't
pause.
Never known about your mouth. You don't know about your mouth.
You don't
mouth.
Say pause with
pause.
That.
You ever see somebody on mouth, dog? Huh?
Oh, man.
That thing beat the hell out of your mouth, man.
No diddy.
Pause.
No diddy.
No diddy. I didn't even hear what I just said, Jay. Pause.
Run that back. What did you say?
Pause. Give us a call. Give us a call, you guys. Oh,
maybe
man.
I should have had to come to the studio. You'll act like this machine.
That dope, man. That dope ain't your friend, man.
Nah, it do some weird stuff to you, though.
Man, that dope ain't your friend. I knew a guy. I'll never forget this. I went home after probably being gone about 15 years. And I swear to you, Jay, this is a true story. His name was Light Mike. And he was light because he was light-skinned, mm-hmm. right? So we go back to the neighborhood. I'm seeing my boys, man. They're like, yo, man, what's up, man? I was like, man, you know who I really miss? And they was like, who? I was like, Light Mike.
My uncle's name was White Mike. That's funny. That is funny. Go ahead.
And I'm like, Light Mike, man. Why y'all invite Light Mike, man? It'd be cool for Light Mike. And we was all at the playground just sitting out, right? They were drinking cold beer. We just talking. And my boy was like, yo, let me holler at you. I said, what? He's like, that's Light Mike you talking to.
Oh.
I'm like, no, Light Mike was light skinned. This Negro is shoe black. He was like, man, dude, you got messed up, man. You got messed up, man, on that thing, man. That thing changed this dude's complexion, huh, Jay?
Yeah, that changed your whole genetics.
Man, hey, Stedman, this dude was your color light, and that thing changed his whole complexion, man.
See, Michael Jackson went the opposite way.
Yeah, man, but that dope, man. So I'm like, he's like, yeah, man, that's Light Mike you talking to. I'm like, what? He was like, yeah, dude.
He
got some bad dope, man.
Did he know he was like,
man? He got some bad dope, man. That bad dope changed his whole skin color. Yeah, I was like,
I've seen that.
Damn.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I felt terrible. You ever felt terrible?
No, genuinely didn't know.
No, I didn't feel terrible.
I felt terrible, man. Speaking of that, man, we got Jay and I got to get some. There's a clip of, I'm watching the Palestinian conversation. I don't want to spend too much time on this today. But I mentioned yesterday that I believe many of the young protesters have no idea what's going on. I believe many of them are out there. Many of them are paid. Many of them are paid, right? And I said this on the show yesterday, right, Stedman? So then I take my ass home and I'm watching the TV. Because somebody sent me a message. Those are young people who care.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on, let me read this.
they're making that money.
Those are young people who care. They're committed. They're willing to fight for a cause. Yada, yada, yada. This is what somebody sent me. And then I get home and I turn the TV on. Play this clip.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stop. I honestly don't know what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I was more educated.
I'm not either. I came from Colombia. I was there out of Colombia, and we came down. They said NYU's
okay, first of all, they don't even know why they're there.
That's 90% of the protesters.
They don't even know why. Well, I can't because she asked me to come. They've got to be doing something.
Yeah. Well, it's better than going to class.
No, I saw somebody say that. Like, young people, you're paying 80 G's to go to college a year.
Yeah.
Go to class.
For real.
I ain't got no problem protest, but go to class and at least know why you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain people who can get away with this. I'm just telling you, mm-hmm. there's certain people, Jay, mm-hmm. who could get away with uninformed engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Y'all know who they are? Little white kids. I'm telling you right damn now. That's little white ass, rich ass, little rich whites, woke rich whites, ooh. Woke rich whites.
But WRW?
This is the problem with this, right?
Yeah.
It's real stuff that's going on over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that people can use kids as a pawn. And now, let's be clear. Historically, colleges have always been part of
protest
and social matters, right?
Yep.
This is nothing new. Right. Let's be perfectly clear, right? The fact that someone has hijacked something real that's going on, a real travesties mm-hmm. and a real genocide going on. Let's not be mistaken. Let's not miss no words here. There's some real genocide going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of double standards going on as well, mm-hmm. which is a whole nother conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
For them not to understand what's going on at what mm-hmm. level and to say that on camera.
Yeah.
But again, think about this. There have been protests. But the protests that we recall, Kent State.
At prestigious universities, though, let's be clear.
But they were, I think
but
they were.
But they knew.
They were more informed. Well,
they knew what they were informed.
It was only the students that genuinely wanted to be there.
Right.
That genuinely wanted
but that
to
was a
for
lot
something.
Of students. Let's not get it twisted. It wasn't 10 students. Was it 20?
No, but they were informed.
Yeah. I'm saying anyone that was there because they wanted to be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Nowadays,
you
look at a college protest and you go, it's just, you know, these kids.
But they wanted to be informed.
No,
absolutely.
They
wanted to know.
Absolutely.
It just goes back to me with Black Lives Matter.
Right.
And I'm sitting there watching the Black Lives Matter. We're talking to my son, and this little white dude is at the front of the march, and Nathaniel said, "Dad, that's that skateboard I want." I'm like, "Huh?" The little white boy got a $650 skateboard. He's just breaking windows with the skateboard. You remember that?
That's another part of the problem. That's what I mean by when people come and hijack.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn.
But yeah, like kind of like you said, they're taking the situation, which is a real situation, not actually doing anything to solve the issue, but they're using it to promote their own agendas
correct.
In some way.
Correct.
And therefore delegitimizing what's actually going on.
You know, and I think
correct.
The problem is with social media, people are, even then, when coming out of Vietnam, those protesters knew exactly why they were there.
Yeah.
I would say 90% of them.
And they were dead wrong, but that's another conversation.
Who, the protesters?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, no, no. We understand the whole, yeah. But at least they had an understanding as to why they were there.
They could explain to you why
they were there.
No, I mean, historically, this was just in the last 5 years, 10 years or so. This is very, very new. Let's be clear.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Anytime somebody hit them streets.
Right.
And this is historical. Like, protests didn't just start. Mm-hmm. Protest was one of the most progressive manners, along with other initiatives, to create some form of change.
Right. Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
If people don't understand the importance of protest, that's probably because you come from a privileged area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being honest.
No, you're right. You're right.
So you never had a matter that impacted you enough that make you want to get off your couch to go stand outside.
And that,
you know what I'm saying? And this is part of the problem.
It's a little hot out today.
But now, though, Jay, the level of co-op is the problem.
Mm. Correct.
Because, you know, when I'm watching these young Palestinians compare their standoff at Stanford or Harvard with the civil rights movement, I'm offended by that.
Yeah, that's different.
I'm offended by that. When I watch the LGBT, well, not the LG, but the trannies,
but maybe the Palestinians over there can say compared to the civil rights movement.
But not if you were
not at NYU.
No, right.
No, absolutely not.
But when I'm watching the transgender movement,
they tell the same stuff.
Talking about their struggle.
Yeah.
Okay, is the same as the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. That should offend all of us.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But again, the level of co-op is so crazy now. Let's see who's been successful with a protest.
But you know what that is about, though? Mm-hmm. If you think about it, it actually isn't a bad ploy. Let me tell you why. Emotionally, when you attach your initiative, agendas, or problems, or plight next to something as complicated as the civil rights movement, automatically it strikes an emotion or something that people like, I remember the marches, I remember the water hoses, I remember the dogs, I remember the scraps, I remember all these different things that this group of people went through.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying you're going through something similar? We need to take action.
Yes.
Right, because it's the emotional thing.
Correct.
So people that think majority with emotion will attach to that.
Correct.
But people like us are like,
And guess what?
There's a lot of emotional people.
And guess what, Gonzo?
You're right, though. It's a problem.
Gonzo, we are living in a very emotional time.
I hadn't noticed.
Yeah, man. We got all these damn Karens crying and all kind of nonsense. And again, people attach to your plight.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's man, I knew. I had a cousin who went through the same thing, and I didn't know what to say to him.
Well, it's not even that.
Difficult time.
I'm watching the news all day, every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole world's going down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I see on social media is what's bad in the world. So, yeah, of course, your situation is totally legitimized because you say so, and you compare it to, let's say, you know, civil rights activists.
Look how twisted the world is today. You could use a pet iguana as an emotional support.
I saw a lady at the restaurant the other day with a big ass iguana on her shoulder.
What?
And she was feeding the iguana.
She from Miami?
Were you there?
No. I'm just thinking.
I'm like, damn, lady, get
this. That's what's going on.
Iguana.
I don't gotta be there. Yeah. I'm telling you what's going on outside.
Is it an iguana? What's the one that changed color with your outfit?
A chameleon.
She had a chameleon because she had on a blue dress and the damn thing on her shoulder was blue. I'm saying to myself, Seth, that's accessorizing.
On another level.
That's accessorizing on another level.
Would change color whenever her personality would change.
No, she was feeding the
She's got two on the ears, like hanging by.
She was feeding the thing, the cheese, the cracker, the little cracker from the, what's the cheese dish Robbie got over there?
What, the charcuterie?
Yeah, man. She was feeding. You talking about the crackers we had
on Saturday?
No way.
Not them crackers. Some good crackers.
She was feeding them the high-end crackers. So the blue chameleon.
They was.
The blue chameleon was on her shoulder eating crackers, and then she passed the blue chameleon over to her little girl. Little girl had on a green shirt. The chameleon went green like a mug.
What?
I'm like, y'all.
Now, you're not saying so, but this was definitely a white person, right?
Of course.
Of course. Okay.
Damn, out of here.
No, I'm
only chameleon in the black community.
One of these days.
Only chameleon in the black community is Chameleon Harris. I mean, Camilla Harris.
God, show my.
Give us a call. 321.
But those
crackers. She changed too.
Yeah.
But those crackers went great with the martini.
Oh,
stuff.
Man. The 16. Jay had 16.
We counted yesterday. We said it was 10.
Jay had 10 martinis, damn it. He was lit on his birthday.
Yeah, but he had Mike martinis. Well, he had like 20.
No,
it
wasn't my birthday. That was Saturday with the martinis.
Oh, true.
Okay. Yeah, damn.
Stebbins, you said it's true.
Mike's martinis. One Mike Martinez.
Mike something. Yeah. Anything Mike makes, you're like, oh,
it'd be
God.
Good though. It'd be good though.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
But so Jay just turned 68.
I thought it was 60.
Okay, 60. Right. Okay. Jay just turned 60.
Gosh almighty. You just trying to look for some company in a 70-year-old club?
Honestly, before I saw that video you posted, I thought he was like 42.
Actually, I'm 44.
So Jay had Tim Martinez. This wasn't even his birthday. So a couple of days after that, he go hard again. And I was trying to go home, and I get this text message. It's my born day, homie. Damn, I don't want to.
Why you can't tell the truth?
Lighting. You want to show you the text? I'm going to show you the text.
Show me the text of what I said verbatim.
Okay, let me tell you what you said, because I know. I was trying to go home.
You are a circumventer of the truth.
That's a word you're going to. That is not what you said. I'm sorry about that.
I know what I type.
Okay.
I ain't type nothing nice, but that's not what I said.
Yeah, I'll be there. You say
no martini can prevent him from knowing what he typed.
But I thought Sunday was your birthday because you went hard in the paint. But Monday was your actual
birthday. Yeah. I had two.
Was Tuesday your actual birthday?
Tim Martinez. Tim Martinez ain't hard in the paint.
I had two. Technically, I had two martinis at Fishbone. I had two martinis at the Vineyard. Where is the hard in the paint at?
Because the two at the other place is full.
Yeah, so you're going by shots.
We're
going
to get you on a workout plan, do some push-ups so you can drink four martinis.
So anyway, so Jay and I were, I got to have this conversation.
Oh, man, I forgot.
I'll leave now.
No, I think this is very important. You're getting ready to get married.
Yeah.
So this is important, right? Jay and I were talking the other day about women and dressing.
Yeah. Oh, this one. Okay.
Salad dressing.
Okay.
And should a woman in a relationship be concerned about dressing modestly?
Actual clothes.
Yeah. Actual clothes.
Yeah. I just want to make sure.
Clothes. Yeah.
Should they care about dressing modestly?
Yeah. Or not dressing.
Not dressing like a.
Should they dress like they're single?
No.
Or dress like they're in a relationship?
Like they're in a
because you can still you can dress provocatively,
okay,
and keep your sexiness. You can dress a little bit more classy, woman like, and still keep your sexy.
Right.
So which one is more appropriate when you're in a relationship? That was the question.
Probably the more classy route. You can still look sexy and classy, but not look like
you're outside.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's funny though? So the other day, Jay and I are sitting talking. And this lady comes to a nice restaurant. We're at a nice place having a drink. Mm-hmm. Nice place, right?
Yeah.
What was that she had on? What's the name of that outfit? Ash, if you're listening, text. What's the name of that outfit?
Hoochie Mama, I don't know.
It was like Hoochie Mama meets Hood.
There's more and more of that where you are sitting in a nice place. Everyone's dressed up, at least business casual or something.
Yeah.
And then that girl with like the gym clothes.
No, not gym clothes.
That was Miami South Beach clothes.
No, because her skirt was dirty.
Her skirt was dirty.
Her skirt was actually dirty. It was light blue skirt, and it was dirty. Like,
damn, do I remember all them details?
Because she walked right by us. It was dirty.
No, I remember seeing it, but I can't even picture it no more.
It was light blue and dirty.
Okay.
And you could see the brown part of her booty cheeks. So once you can see the dark part, that means it's too short. Would you agree?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It was just too much. And the dude, he was kind of dressed like he was going out to eat.
Mm.
Yeah, he was dressed regular. He was dressed regular.
So he just picked her up.
I don't know where he got her from.
I mean, no, they was together. You could tell by the energy.
But as a man, though, you swing by to pick a lady up to take her to dinner, right?
Yeah.
Is it inappropriate to say?
I think they left the house like that together.
You think so?
Yeah.
The problem is, he has a point.
Yeah.
More and more guys are like becoming okay with it.
No,
I'm telling you, more guys are becoming more okay with it. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying they're desensitized to it.
Let's run the break. I want to have this conversation. Drop us an open mic. Give us a call, 321-339-1055. You listen to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
I'm standing here looking in the mirror. Man, this is music right here. I don't care what your position is on the issue right here. This is real music right here. Would you agree?
I agree. And all the things I
took it through. Hey, Stemmer, it's real music.
Yeah, that's why I played it, man. I like it.
Thank you so much. Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Gonzo, who is that singing?
Couldn't tell you.
Wow, man, you're so white.
We're talking about Michael Jackson and other things, too. I still play his music.
White. Thank you so much. Welcome back again. That is good music. Hey, we're just talking about women and attire. Jay and I saw a lady show up the other day at a nice restaurant with her gentleman friend or husband or whatever you might have been. I don't know. I just, you ain't going out with me looking like that.
So let's get a more descriptive, accurate.
Okay. Yeah, Jay just got clear. He got the clear.
I got a paragraph and a half.
Okay.
Pink tennis skirt with matching crop top. The back was sitting on top of her cheeks.
Yeah.
And so
I thought it was powder blue, but pink. Okay.
And allegedly the restaurant has had the dress code. I didn't see it that night, but
first of all, even can I
there's like a common sense.
Wait,
can dress
I tell y'all something? No. I'm gonna tell you guys something. I talk about race on the Don Miller Show.
Oh no.
They definitely have a dress code, and I've seen them enforce it, Jay.
So why wasn't it enforced there?
Because she's black. She was black, and I know she would have clowned. I promise you.
I could see that. No. I could see
well,
that.
Well, she was clowning with that outfit, apparently.
I could see that.
Let me just say, I saw them put out two young white ladies who was in there with some little shorts on, and just it was terrible, right? Mm. And they walked over to them and was like, hey, and they left. They went back and got in their Jeep and went somewhere else. I was sitting there. You know where we were sitting? Right on the edge, right?
Okay.
I was like, okay, yeah. Mm. This chick was worse than them.
Mm. Oh, I mean, she was bad.
I'm telling you, Jay, you know where you and I come from. The only reason that they didn't say anything to her.
I could see that.
Because she was black.
That. Yeah.
I could see that.
And she would have snapped.
Because that would have caused a problem.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
But those white girls are probably like, oh, okay.
Yeah, they didn't look quick to handle that level of aggression.
No. they didn't have a bouncer.
They don't care.
No,
but you know,
bouncers don't care.
But you know what's disheartening about that is that we were the only black people at the restaurant at that moment.
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, praying that now, you know, my wife is there. She's dressed. No, she always dressed the same way. Like,
she's
respectful,
a lady. She's
right?
A lady, right.
So, then you get another black young couple, probably a little younger than us, that walk in, and it's like, he's dressed okay. What does she have on? And really, the problem is, it isn't the style of clothing.
Right.
It was the size of the clothing.
Yeah.
Right? Because she had a tennis skirt on. Nothing is wrong with a tennis skirt if it's your size.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. Right? Yeah.
So when you're going to Baby Gap, you need to be in Gap. You don't need to be in Baby Gap. You graduated.
But they're cheaper.
Yeah. You may save a few bucks.
Yeah, they are cheaper. That's
you may
fact.
Save a few bucks, but what may wind up happening... You're cutting off your circulation some part of your body.
No. It was disheartening.
Yeah.
It was disheartening.
To say the least, right?
Because it's a representation.
And man. And so we're sitting there, and we're sitting there having good drinks, good wine, you know, glass of wine, $30 or something.
That's enough.
You know what I mean?
That's
it's
enough.
A nice place, I'll right? Have one. And you come in here, but this is the point, right? As a man, so when does that man thing kick in?
That man thing should have kicked in. I'm sorry.
Before
right.
Like, as a man.
I'm sorry. And I think the problem with this conversation is that, once again, we're talking about something that's being hijacked, right? Mm-hmm. Is that people have blurred the lines of respect versus control.
Right.
Right? So they have misguided how a man and a woman should interact within their relationship, right? Like, how I dress, I'm not going to wear certain things to reveal certain parts of my body so to get the attention of women, right?
Right.
Like, oh, damn, Jay, I ain't know it like that, right? Same way my wife should come outside on some, I'm going to wear the tightest, that most revealing thing I can find to accentuate my curves,
right?
And it also goes along with what I was saying during the break is that no, tonight we're going to hang out, but I'm going to be in the house before midnight.
Yeah, but,
why?
But,
because that's respect. That's not control.
Well, another thing, too, real quick, is not only the respect for the man, but the like, let's say, that woman that you saw at the restaurant dressed like that. What about the respect for herself, too? Going to a place like that, looking like that. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No rebuttal for that. Unfortunately, depending on what somebody was raised and the men that was in her life or the women that was in her life, she probably don't really know what that really should look like.
Okay, now think about this. You know, we've all, I think that level of engagement has to start somewhere.
At the crib when you're younger.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But even as a man.
At the crib when you're younger.
Should kick in.
At the crib when you're younger. Everything goes back to the crib.
Yeah, but hypothetically, if you don't have that structure.
Right.
So what do you think? That should kick in at some point?
No. Like, I think a man has to be comfortable enough to say, take that off.
Yeah.
Or, well, yeah,
or you're not wearing it.
Or let's modify that.
Yes. Right. Modify that. Take that off. Yeah. You're not wearing that. You know what I mean? And I can tell you, I have gone on dates and went by to pick up a lady, take her on a date, and she come out of the house, and I'm like, oh,
that
no,
ain't gonna
no,
work.
No, yeah, no. Yeah, yeah. And you say it nicely, like, hey, where we going?
I can't be seen like that.
Right. That's what I'm saying, right? You. Okay. Yeah. Where are we going? You know, maybe you should change into something else. And one girl told me
like
one time.
The first thing I said, I was like, oh, where'd you pick her up?
Yeah. And one girl told me one time, I ain't got nothing else.
Yeah. Mm. But see,
I respected her for being honest.
So the next point is this.
That's all I got.
The next point is this, right? Unfortunately, when you go, I hate going to the mall now, right? Especially as a man, there's nothing there for me.
Right.
But trying to take my wife to go find stuff, everything is cut short. Mm-hmm. Everything is a halt the top, everything is skin tight. It's kind of hard to find some respectable clothing depending on where you're going, right?
No, ain't no question.
So the retail side is pushing that. Right, I guess the Temu.
But Jay, even for men.
No, it's
man,
it's,
you know, I'm just so, you know, I try to go buy a shirt. Everything is slim cut. I'm not a slim cut kind of dude.
But everything's skinny jeans.
Yes.
So it's like, can I get some regular, can I get some boot cut? Can I get some regular cut?
The only place you're going to find that is Skip's Western Outfitters.
True.
Plug. because if you go to any of these other stores.
Well, I was going
to
give a plug, but I won't get no money from them. I know it's Skip, so I leave it right there.
but think about this, right? Yeah. If you are a man and you go to limited, what's the name, Express for men? It's all skinny jeans.
It's metrosexual.
Yeah, this is what you shop over there, don't you?
Well, yeah, because I can. But I also do love to wear some nice bootcut jeans.
I know you do. I see you in them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The Express is definitely like, but too skinny.
As a guy, now I'm going to tell you, there's some freaky ass guys out here, just pervs, who like to go out with their woman.
To show that.
To show that.
Yeah.
No, you that's know? Really what a disconnect is at.
Yeah. Is that like almost, I don't even know if I can say this word, see you? Uh-uh. Okay, never mind.
Well, okay, no, you definitely can't say that, man. Come on, man.
No.
Hey, maybe listen, is Holly on the line with us? Yeah, Holly.
Don, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. Yeah, hey, how you doing,
hey,
man?
Buddy.
You sound clear.
I've been working on it.
I see.
So, Holly, have you been listening to what we're talking about?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
What's your take?
What's your take, man?
I'm sorry.
Gosh almighty. Never mind, Holly.
You asked it right in the middle. Man, kind of right after.
So we're talking about, we were out at a restaurant the other day, and a lady came in her drawers.
Yes, yes. First of all, I'd like to know what restaurant that was.
You want to go?
It's not a common thing.
That's what I'm getting from you.
The atmosphere is always important. Yeah. You know, and the thing is that you want to watch somebody else's stuff, but you don't want nobody to watch yours. Mm. And that's another thing too, because I'm real funny about it. Well, my wife is conservative, but kind of like, you know, all of our wives are the same kind they like to look cute, look and look have
respectfully
a sexiness, but not show all of their biz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
no, you got Holly. You really got dudes that want to show that, though. You got dudes that really want to show their wife off.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I've been around three of them now. All in late.
Yeah, see, I'm not trying to let you see why I go home every night.
But you know what?
Holly,
this girl right now, if we could have, like, what's that called, Stedman, when you take somebody and you put them in another place, like, instantaneously?
Transport?
Yeah, right.
Transport.
If we could
teleport.
Star Trek? No. if we could have teleported her from that restaurant to OBT.
I thought you were going to say Freaknik.
It would have been a smooth transition from one to the other.
She looked like she was on the corner.
She looked like she was outside.
She looked like she was on Broadway.
She looked like she was outside.
She looked like she was standing out there. You want a date? Want a date, baby?
Oh, wow. No, seriously.
But you got to think about this. It did what she wanted it to do. It drew attention.
I don't think she wanted it to do.
Nah, because she kind of overheard us talking. And the guy kind of looked over there at us like he had an issue, but then he changed his mind.
Yeah, he don't want no
trouble. Wait. She kind of heard y'all over. So y'all was talking loud.
No, I don't think we was talking loud, but we ain't missing no words.
But listen to this, guys. This is what the issue was. So we're sitting by the door to go in. We're on the patio. To go in, you got to walk directly within a foot, 2 feet of us, right?
Correct.
She heard us talking first. She gets up and prances by us.
Correct.
Right?
Look at this.
And I'll do it again.
She wanted to get the reaction.
So she goes back with the dirty pink skirt on and sits down.
I think
he hears us and he look over there, but he ain't trying. But this is the big what bothered me the most. There are only 5 black people there.
Yeah, it was 5.
Me, you, your wife.
And them two.
Okay? And everybody over there looking at us. And we 2 tables away from them. And unfortunately, there was a little couple between us.
Yep.
And I was like, we ain't with them, right? I don't know, huh?
See, that's why y'all ain't supposed to be here. I mean, that's what it make you feel like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah,
man.
Absolutely. Right. When you go to a restaurant, I want to put this on the record. That has a hostess stand at the door.
On the patio door, though. We're not talking about the main door. The patio side.
There's a hostess stand at the patio. Put some clothes on. Fix yourself up. Look, we're going to run the break. When we come back, the phone lines are open. Open mic is open. Holly Holloman is with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
I bet Jay don't know this song.
Seems like yesterday.
I absolutely don't.
Wow. What about you, Gonzo?
No.
Wow. Play that, Stephen.
Not as old as you sound.
Oh, wow.
Holly know this song.
I can't hear the song. Sorry.
Oh, you can't hear it. Against the Wind.
Great. It's the great Bob Seger.
Bob Seger.
Oh, Bob Seger. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much, everybody. Welcome back. I want to really get back to this conversation real quick because I want to go into another conversation shortly. I just believe that a lot of men have lost their way.
Hey, Don, you remember that guy? I'm with her. And this is when I said, I knew 3 people late, man, I'm playing.
Okay. But yeah, you know you're not. You're not playing enough.
Well, I don't know if it's 3.
1, for sure.
But this is the one that I immediately think of.
Right.
Remember the guy used to come out, and it'd be a group of dudes standing there, and he'd be like, yo, y'all see my girl? Yo, come here, baby. Spin around, show him.
But
you remember that?
Yeah.
You remember what I'm talking about?
Was he a white dude?
Yeah,
no, he was a black guy. He was a black guy. He had a Hispanic woman.
Oh, yeah.
Remember he, like,
whatever happened to that cat?
He got banned.
Wow.
Oh, okay. No, yeah, yeah. And it, yeah, had but, a Spanish but, girlfriend.
Yeah, she's come
she
up.
Was, she was cute girl. Body.
Yeah. I ain't gonna disrespect her. Okay. Listen,
no comment.
Yeah.
We'll keep that down.
No, but the point was,
yeah,
is
he
that
actually told her to spin around
in front of a group of men, and he talked about what she's going to do sexually to him that the evening when they get home.
But they banned him from the table, though.
They banned him from the spot.
Yeah, he got kicked out. That's a weirdo. But again, there are guys who like this. We knew a guy named Brad. I just found out Brad died, and Brad would do the same thing. Brad took a girlfriend and bought her some, and he used to get these prostitutes, and I had fallen in love with him. And he would bring the, like, and we'd go to Robbie's place. Robbie banned him and his girlfriend, right? And he'd come in there with these prostitutes, and one night, might have been Quetta Jean Johnson and myself were there, and he went and found a prostitute, and he brought her in there, She had a whole prom dress on.
I heard about this.
Yeah.
I heard about this.
Prom dress. Nah, I heard about this. Prostitute in a prom dress. But he probably told her we're going somewhere nice.
Yeah.
And she didn't know. And
she's like, oh, we're going to a gala.
She had a prom dress. A prostitute with a prom dress. Oh, I thought that was catchy.
He tried to clean her up, man.
But then he got this other one.
You seen Pretty Woman.
And then he got this up. But and again, he would want them to dress provocative. I think that got him going. Hmm. And there are guys who are like this.
It's called compensation, man.
You know, there are guys who are
just
like
trying
this.
To compensate for what weirdness, cooniness you have, I guess.
But as a man, though, everybody wants... I'm okay with a guy looking at my lady saying, okay, she's
if
very
a guy don't look at her, I'm telling you, if a guy don't at least glance at her, I'm going to think something wrong with her. I got to look at her from a different angle.
I don't want nobody on nobody else. You know what I mean?
Saying, right. Nobody ever look at your woman, dog. It's like, you may have made a decision.
Yeah,
ain't
nobody looking at your woman. Yeah, I think that might
be. You might have made a bad decision, Pip. Listen, you better look at her from the same angle they looking at her.
Yeah, man.
Walk beside them.
But again, it's just funny because I just think there are guys who kind of, I think this guy may have been a guy who found that hot, that his woman was in a dirty pink skirt. And
he might say, yeah, that's the one.
Cause she was,
oh, they're going to be all over you when we go outside.
Oh, I've seen dudes who are like, you know, my girl just got her boobs done. You want to see him? You want to touch him?
Yeah.
Now that's a white
thing. Yeah, that's why.
Sure.
Hey. Oh, wow. Yeah, he's usually 70 and she's usually 30.
Jay, that's white. Jay, look at that stem.
Wow.
Did you touch him, stem?
Sure. No. Jay, you've never experienced this.
Absolutely not.
Wow.
No. Yeah, that doesn't just happen in our neighborhood.
That just don't happen.
I don't want to say rich white guys, but there are white dudes who will bring their hot girlfriend and be like, oh, you want to see your
boobs? I'd like to volunteer. Hey,
Holly, you want to go to the spot and you want to volunteer to touch this?
I'll be the person who can come up to me and I will hold it. I will check it out and everything.
Oh, yeah, you went to Dr. Miami, didn't you? I can tell.
Hey, wait. Yeah. You know what's funny, though, Stedman? I've been at a party, and that happened.
I told you.
And I'm telling you, Jay, I was at this party. Huh? I was at this party. It happened. And it was an all-white party except for me.
Of course.
Okay. I think you told me the story.
Yeah, I told
Jay. I'm pretty sure you told me the story.
So I'm at this party, and this guy got his wife prancing around the party, pretty much half naked, like little bitty skimpy outfit. And, you know, everybody else came like, you know, business casual, like they're going to a party.
Yeah.
So everybody said, Prince, and people live near us.
Yeah, so I'm at
this party and I'm like, okay, it's a nice party. You know, they got all these drinks and stuff. Now I ain't drinking all that. I'll drink, you know, some wine. And so people start thinning out. You know how the party starts thinning out.
And they get crazier.
And the dude was like, hey, Donnie. Don't leave.
Hey, buddy, I got something for you.
That's where you go. No, I got to get out of here.
Donnie, don't leave. I'm like, oh, okay.
Tonight's
like,
going to be your
he's
night,
like,
Donnie.
Just hang out a little bit.
And got something for you.
Tonight's going to be your night,
and
Donnie.
So we're sitting out at the pool, and his wife comes out. It's probably 8, 9 people still there, maybe 10. And we're sitting at the pool, and his wife comes out, and she doesn't change clothes. So she's got this... What's the thing called, ladies, when you cover your bikini up?
Oh, the little.
Just a coveralls, what they usually call it.
Yeah. Right? Cover up. So she comes out there, now she got this on, right? And she plops down on my lap.
That's all she had on?
She got some bikini on, but she got the sarong or the wrap.
She sat on your lap?
She sat on my lap. And she's like, oh, my God, if I ever was with a black guy.
I knew it was going there.
What?
I knew you were going to say something crazy.
Squishy one. Yeah.
If I ever was with a black guy, it would be like you, Donnie. Oh, and she's all over me, and I'm like, dude, get your wife, man. He was like, she don't mean any harm.
Does she rub your ears?
No, man, get your wife off me, man.
She don't mean any harm, all right.
Yeah, she rub your ears, you done.
She rubbed your ears, though. You can tell us. We're not going to judge you.
So I'm like, this is really weird, right? Because nobody else...
It's
acting like this is weird, right? Everybody else, they just sitting around, they talking, and, you know.
This is called white drunk normal.
Okay. So I'm like, so I kind
of
get her up.
Jay's about to walk out.
So,
oh my God!
So W-D-R. I get her. No, no, Jay, W-D-N. I get her. Jay, I get her.
Go off, ahead, Don. I want to hear this.
I get her up off me, right?
Yeah, yeah. How'd you get up off you,
uh-huh. Dude? I kind of just got up. You know, like you know, I got up. I'm like, and he was like, and she was just like,
I can see that.
She was like, Donnie, I'm just telling you, you know, you are just such a nice guy, and your skin is like really soft skin. And I'm looking at this dude like, man, what kind of ridiculous ass nonsense y'all doing over here?
She thought you would be gentle.
No, listen to me. I got scared because, again, there are other people there. This is his wife. Yeah. Nobody said, damn. Because
they already know what time she on.
I didn't.
They already on.
I didn't.
They already been in the pool by themselves.
They're like, join the club, Don.
No, and I'm like,
I've done it three times.
So I'm like, man, I got to get up out of here, man. So I, you know, kind of maneuvered toward the door. And as soon as they start doing something else, I dip, right? So I see him out at like the restaurant one night. The two of them sitting at the bar.
Yeah.
And act like nothing ever happened. Hey, how you doing, dog?
Because nothing happened.
I'm like, I give him a head nod now. I don't even like to. Hey, but so again, he was prancing her around like this. And then I finally told a friend of ours what happened. He was like, you should have told me you were going over there. I'd have told you not to go over there. He said, I would have told you not to go over there. He said, that's what they do over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, man, damn people. But again, you know, people like what they like. That just ain't to my liking. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if you expose your wife and tote her around like that, then that's shame on you.
You turn your wife into an object. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, but again, man, for a guy with low men have low self-esteem,
I think that's what it's about. It's like she's supposed to cover the difference whether he think he mentally lacks.
Well, it's like
Can you be honest about your buddy? Was he not the best-looking dude in the world?
Oh, no, he's really horrible. He's horrible.
But got a hot wife.
But he's rich. He's really rich.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but really rich. So you can't – her validation is not enough. You need the validation from everyone else, too. Yeah.
He's rich, and he had he's had some surgeries on his private parts to get it back right. And
Oh wow!
No, and he's
that's
he,
way
you know,
too much information.
No, listen,
the Supreme Court.
What's going on over there? No, but he tells the story, special right? Counsel. But then it really it hit me, Holly, because he told us this story. He's like, "Yeah, man, I had to go on there knife. I'm trying to get my stuff back working." And so maybe he didn't mean any harm.
He wanted you to take care of him.
Yeah.
He wanted you to cover the difference.
And I think that might have been it. But
And you was a terrible friend.
I don't know.
You did
not
want your friend. Now she was going to run outside all wild. He picked you. He probably picked you.
He chose you.
But if her lips, right, were gigantically injected, right, it's like you could see she goes like weekly to get. What's it called?
Collagen?
Yeah, something in the lip.
So you're supposed to cut the lights out. Mm-hmm. You want to see how big her lips
is. No, I ain't doing all that.
So you didn't hook your friend up. You're selfish. I didn't know you was like that.
I don't think you was that kind of guy.
I can tell you what I didn't do. I didn't feel comfortable. I never went back over there. But can you just give people a heads up sometime? Well, tell me what kind of party
heads
I'm
up,
coming
my
to.
Wife's gonna
no,
try
he tried to get you in a spot where you was less inclined to turn that down.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, yeah.
It's real. But we have a friend, Jay, who went over there and took care of that business. Mm. He went over there.
I could surmise who you're talking about.
We have a friend.
You put it down?
Went right over there.
I don't know about all that now.
We got a friend who went over there. And he
knocked it out.
He went over there a couple of times. He's like, yeah, man, I went over a couple of parties over there. I'm like,
I can see. If I'm thinking about who you're thinking about.
Same dude.
No,
right?
He about that life, though.
Yeah. Nah, let's check out some
I wish y'all to tell us who that y'all think about.
I can't do that.
Hey, I'll text you. Let's check out some open mics.
Don, that is the most solid advice I have heard in a while. That dope ain't your friend.
Who's this new rich white kid y'all hired?
Hey, Don Miller, it's Ray Ray up here in the panhandle. I just wanted to say I lived in Tennessee for a couple years, and it's very conservative there. They don't do the Daisy Duke shorts, nothing like that. So I started wearing these like baggy Under Armour shorts. Well, how about one time I fly from the Nashville airport and I land in Orlando airport, and I say, holy crap, we're not in Toto no more, Kansas.
Good morning, guys. Great subject matter as always, man. You're killing it. Man, on that dress, man, I fly frequently, so being in the airport, man, it just leaves me shaking my head constantly at what I see getting on airplanes today. I've seen a woman in just a swimsuit getting on an airplane, and the little sheer coverall. It's crazy out here.
Morning, guys. Here's my take. She doesn't know how to be a lady, and he definitely doesn't know how to be a man. There's no way my woman's going to leave her house with me or I pick her up and she's looking like that, especially going to a nice restaurant or whatnot. It's crazy. And I can bet she probably the type, like, going to say he's insecure or he's controlling if he's telling her not to dress provocatively.
Make sure you're done. She can hear that. The street.
Yeah, Holly can't hear the open mics.
PDX Springs, Florida. Regarding the girl and her outfit, you might take in effect she could have been deaf and they needed to read her lips. Also, Holly, thank you for getting rid of that Fisher-Price system you had. Much better. Beetle.
Again,
damn, Holly. So okay, heard you.
Hey, Holly, he said you had a Fisher Price connection thing going on.
I forgot to put in my he heard that part.
It actually sounded like it was a play school or something. He's absolutely right.
Well, we're going to fix that real soon, so just stay with us. Again, you know, I just don't think, I actually can tell you that I offended a young lady one time because I told her that her dress was inappropriate to wear to where I wanted to take her, and she just shut me, she never talked to me again. But
Don is not telling her, he's not making that up.
I told her, you can't wear this. No, you got to put some clothes on.
It was probably for the best.
Huh?
I remember when it happened.
I was like, what happened? Sorry. I hope you got something else to wear because this ain't going to go.
But I wonder from the women's side, why?
Delusion.
That could be it. Delusion.
I'm talking about mature women. I'm not talking about a 21-year-old or 19-year-old.
Is this
I'm
what we need Tamika to tell us?
I need somebody. I mean, I need a
Tamika would say lack of Christ.
She definitely going to bring. Yeah, which, she can't. Which, I don't see some church woman now.
You're saying mature women.
Christ
woman,
hung
though,
out with prostitutes.
You're saying mature women.
I'm gonna say over 35.
Okay, so
over
older 35. Women. Okay. So immature women that are older. Because you could be older.
I don't know how to frame it. I don't know if the call immaturity or a crisis. I don't know what to call it.
I just want to say this to the women are listening. There are women listening to us on Florida Man Radio. Florida Man Radio is not exclusively for men. That's just the name. That's just the name. We got a lot of women listeners. Women, give us a call. 321-339-1055. Also, listen to this.
I want to hear from you.
Also, listen to this real quick, and it's very important. It ain't. Most of the guys I know see you out here like this, they don't find it appealing. I'm just telling you. Most of the guys. Now, there are some guys.
At least not in a respectful
way. We like a little mystery, you know what I mean?
Well, most of the guys.
Right.
You framed it properly. Most of the guys.
Yeah, most.
But there are some guys.
There's some guys that love it.
Right.
And they wear glasses all day and act like wear.
I'll tell you, I'll give you another. It's just certain things that I think should be left to the imagination. If you have your breast pierced,
you shouldn't be able to see the ring.
You shouldn't be able to see the ring.
Absolutely not.
Would you agree?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Stop it. Just put, you know, they got little things you put on there, right? You can buy them at Target, right? Huh? Like a bra.
Wow.
No, but
I got a friend of mine that has those and they you see them they right there.
But you
they're there. I can tell you.
I don't know the angle you're using for this recollection.
I think women are guilty of this oftentimes.
Is it an attention thing? You think it's an attention thing? Because it can't be comfortable. Well, it looks uncomfortable from a breathing standpoint.
It can be a number of different things because everyone's different.
Right.
So, you know, and again, it's not most women or it's not all women. But for those women that we are talking about, they've all got their different issues. We could have said delusion. It could have been immaturity or, like you said, attention, lack of attention growing up. It could be a number of things.
But
and guys are guilty of it too.
But I tell you, it's hoish.
Yeah.
That's what the old person would say. It's hoish.
Oh.
I just want my lady to walk outside like that.
Though.
It's hoish.
That is the old.
What would your grandma say?
It'd be a little more graphic than that. But.
Yeah. You know, it's really unfortunate. But men got to stand for something. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I know the girl I told no, she didn't speak to me ever again. She was like, "You're an a-hole jerk."
I definitely don't get the man
she
angle.
She was like, "How dare you tell me what to wear? You ain't my daddy."
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I was like, "Okay, cool, no problem." You know what I mean? But you ain't wearing that anywhere with me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to take you somewhere nice, and you know. Show your ass something you ain't never seen
so
before.
That means, hey, you cool where you at. I'm still about to go where I'm going.
I'm going.
You cool
for me,
right?
You just ain't going, right? That's just like, you know, if I'm trying to show you, you know, a new life, you ain't got to do all this.
You can't take these kind of women, girls, whatever age this was, and take them there knowing they going to order Malat.
or a well done steak, or a steak well done. Oh, okay,
that's a true story. I know a guy that took a young lady to the place, and she was like, "I think I have a glass of Merlot."
Yeah, yeah. Mm. You know that's a true story. Stephen, you know that story, don't you? It was me. She hollered out.
Yeah, that was
No, I was in a whole nother situation. Yeah. You were the second person.
Yeah,
I met.
Give me a glass of Merlot. But even if she orders a well done steak at a really nice steak place.
Or ask for steak sauce.
Yeah.
If you're going to ask for steak sauce, it's like,
y'all got any A1? No.
You're killing me.
We don't got no damn A1 in here.
What about some ketchup?
But again,
I'm taking you to Applebee's.
As much as you would want to bring that person into your conversation, you can't. You can't put them in the conversation. Hey, we can't put them in the conversation.
Okay. So from a female, I just got to...
Can people text the show? How can they text the show? Okay.
I think they can text the show.
So you can leave an open mic.
Mm-hmm. Or you can text us at...
And you can text us also at 321-339-1055.
Say it a little slower. Say it a little slower.
Sorry. 321-339... I'm whiting it up. 1055.
No, 1055.
Damn.
That's what they told me.
1055. I'm sorry, John.
Okay.
So the text I got was, listen, guys, women compete with other women, especially when cheating is or has occurred.
Okay. So tell me what that means. Here. Break that down.
I'm not a woman. So I'm guessing what she's saying is that she feels the need to overdo it. To keep his attention on her and not other women.
When
kind of infidelity or kind of covenant was broken.
Really?
So it's like an insecurity thing.
Hey, listen, I'm telling you what I read.
That's amazing.
You asked me to interpret it. I'm doing the best I can.
That's a good answer. That's a great answer, man.
Yeah, Jay and I don't know if you were there one night. There was a lady sitting outside with a guy, and she had no panties on.
I heard this story.
I was there, right?
I heard this story.
I'm telling you. I think X was there, and we were all sitting there. And every few minutes, with no panties on, she would swing her chair around.
So you can see.
Toward us.
Yeah.
And I was like.
Oh, she was basic instincting it.
Dude, no. This was weird, right? And I was like, the hell? And he didn't notice it.
Correct. I got it correct.
Huh?
I got it correct.
Okay.
Hey, Stephen, I got that basic instinct.
Yeah. But
Holly mind is all over the
Holly,
place.
Holly, and I'm looking at her. She's smoking a cigar. She's got a little outfit on and no panties. Jay, you heard about it. She kept swinging her chair around to the guys. It's like four of us at the table. And I'm scratching my head like, don't he see this? Like
he might be with it though.
Yeah,
There's no way he don't know what's going on. He knows she ain't got no panties on. Let's be clear.
And I'm saying to myself, you know, after the third or fourth time, I didn't look anymore.
But you know, some men done.
After the third or fourth time,
I stopped looking. Yeah,
after the image was burnt in your retina.
For Arby's.
But you got some men that enjoy watching their wife have sex with other men though. You got, there's men out there that's into this.
Oh.
And you got women into the same thing.
Okay.
It does whatever it does. I would never understand it. I'm too selfish.
Never.
Never understand it.
No, but yeah. You're right, you know, and yeah. Yeah.
Got men into that now. Yeah. Especially like when they think they're inadequate.
Mm.
So it's like, in their mind, she's not cheating because I'm allowing it. Mm. It's like some reverse psychology. Yeah, like,
he's like, that's weird. He's laying there holding her hair.
Yeah, he's like, oh, get the hair out your face. Oh, boy, you're doing such a great job. You see her face is a wreck.
He's holding her hair. Like, what they got a name for that? Bukkake or something? Is that Bukkake? Listen, we're going to go to break. When we come back, turn the corner. Got a conversation I want to tell you guys about that I had. You listen to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
If I ever get married again, it's going to be like a way that Jay and Candle did it. It's going to be like an elope deal, and nobody knows. Nobody knows. I don't talk about it on the air. Nothing. There's some of my life that I'd like to remain private.
And your wedding plans are one of those?
I don't know if I even have any wedding plans.
Okay, that was just testing.
You're triggering me.
I'm not.
Jesus,
Anna. No.
What?
Bubba the Love Sponge. Weekday mornings at 6 a.m. East, 5 Central on Florida Man Radio. Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
My girl and I was at the motel on a rendezvous, yeah. Making sweet, sweet love like we always do.
Yep, here we come.
I fell asleep and
I'm here.
All right, we coming, Holly, hang on. Gone.
Okay.
She texted me a picture on my telephone. She took my draw, said she gon' put it on TikTok and get a
she took my draw.
She took my draw.
Thank you so much. Welcome back, everybody.
Or she wasn't wearing them in the first place.
You can tell that Jay is definitely not 60.
Jay, like, oh, where did you guys get this from?
I mean, T-Bone talking about TikTok, so it got to be fairly new. Yeah, that's like Ron Isley.
That's Lenny Williams.
That's Lenny Williams.
He just came back
and
made
it. I thought I heard that too, but I was like,
that's his latest song.
That's Lenny Williams talking about TikTok.
Yes, Lenny Williams.
Man, I thought I misunderstood
and
that. But
Lenny Williams
got to
be, what, 70?
He's just disappointed.
He's old. He's definitely old. Lenny Williams Lenny needs some money.
Man, Lenny must be doing real bad. Talking about TikTok.
Yeah, Lenny Williams. Lenny Williams had one of the greatest songs of all time. Yep.
He just messed up his whole legacy with putting my drawers on TikTok.
Man, Lenny Williams was, I can tell you, I want to talk about, it's just unfortunate because I remember back in the day, we go out to the club. You're looking for the classiest lady in the club. Like, man, look at her.
Don, why the hell are you lying? Why you gonna come on here and lie like that for all these good people? I am not going to sit here because nobody was going to say nothing. They're going to let you sit here and tell this lie.
Dang, her dress is all the way down to her ankles.
There's no way.
That's the one.
Yeah, she saved.
Man, you don't get out of here, Don.
She got a headdress on.
Yeah, she know Jesus personally.
Stop, I mean? Don. Don't even tell this lie now. We ain't doing that today.
Oh,
you say that lie for tomorrow or Monday.
Oh, you're right, because we went to the club. We were looking for that chick.
I was looking for that chick that had on what she had on Saturday.
Yeah.
If that's what we was on.
Oh.
No, that's what you was on, because last time I went to the club, I just wanted to drink and dance to the music. I wasn't even worried about anything else.
Yeah.
But when I was in that zone,
yeah,
I was looking for what was on there Saturday. We ain't about to say it that lie.
If you find your wife in the club, we got a problem.
Hey. Now, that's not necessarily so. There are people who found their wives in the club.
You got some respectable women in clubs. That's how I get it.
I just love how you take everything I say and put it as a definitive comment. Let me just have my moment, Don. Let me have my entertaining one-liners, you know?
Yeah.
Hope you understand
me.
Every word.
Don's playing Richard right now, Holly.
Lenny Williams.
No, that's all time classic right there.
First of all, his name is Lenny. That's you right there.
That he was born in 42.
His name is Lenny.
He was born in 42. I'm saying if his name Lenny, he was born in 42.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
They could have spelled Leonard, so they just went with Leonard.
That's 1842.
I actually have a friend named Lenny. He's not quite 60 yet, but yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Lenny Williams.
That's an old school attitude.
Lenny was born in 1945. What does that make him, guys?
Old as hell.
45 would be 79?
I'm about to say 79.
79, yeah. And he's singing about TikTok.
See, he just disappointed the whole race.
Yeah. Or he reached out to
probably found
generation.
Out about it last week.
Look at it that way.
Is that thing they talking about they going bang?
matter of fact.
don't get too ahead of ourselves here.
So let me just say this. Just going about TikTok. So I guess it was signed. Was it signed?
They signed the bill. They, you know,
the bill goes to the president.
Classic bill
stuffing.
He
signed it. Yeah. No, he signed it.
Classic bill stuffing.
Okay. And there's so much stuff in this bill, probably.
So
yeah, it was one of those things they threw it in there and got it signed.
So in 9 months, either the parent company got to sell it or it's going to get banned.
Or
supposedly.
Or Jeff Bezos is going to buy it.
And no. He got to sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, ByteDance still has to choose to sell it.
The parent company, they have to, quote unquote, sell it. If they don't sell it in 9 months, then the app will be banned in the United States.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
So they're probably laying out who's going to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're putting the group.
This is extortion, you know, right? This ain't
but again, they can sell it, but the algorithm is where the value is.
Yeah,
and if you know the Chinese, I know the Chinese.
Oh, they got a secret algorithm.
The Chinese gonna start up something else next week.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
They probably already are.
Yeah,
they've got their backup. Yeah, ready the Chinese to go.
Got something else coming right down the pipes because they're gonna.
Well, they've got They've had like an Instagram equivalent from TikTok that's coming out.
Really?
I think it's called TikTok Notes or something.
Really?
So it's supposed to be like just pictures.
Uh-huh.
But it's run by TikTok, ByteDance, all them. So they've already got that coming out.
But a lot of people are saying ByteDance, which is a Hong Kong-based entity, is a part of the Chinese Communist Party.
But they got a lot of different apps, too. I don't think people realize how many apps they got.
Yeah, they probably...
Pretty sure they did Bumble. They did...
Bumble?
Yeah. And Grindr.
They got a bunch of apps.
Grindr?
Oh, yeah. They play both sides.
Gosh, almighty.
That's good.
They're business people, man.
No, but...
They sold it, bought it, and then sold it again and made a crap ton of money, like $600 billion or something like that.
When you look at this, right, in all of these apps on your phone is exposing a lot of your stuff. A lot of your stuff.
Your data.
They
got all our data already. I think it's too late.
Yeah. Like, so they're going to make TikTok sell because of the relationship with the CCP.
Mm-hmm.
And alleged relationship with the CCP. Mm-hmm. But everything out of China's got something to do with the CCP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why are we just learning about this now?
You know, even...
they mastered the kickback game.
But you can't even tell me the Chinese cars are the CCP. Like...
Oh, everything. Every dollar you make over there, they get a cut.
Yes.
Yeah. So
you can't do business without it.
Yeah. You know? So
so a lot of this is just smoke and mirrors.
You
so,
can't do business without paying taxes to these guys.
Just go back ahead and enjoy your TikTok and just, you know, because I kind of got on TikTok for a little while and just was scrolling.
And
4 hours later, I looked up and I was like, damn, I've been on here 4 hours.
You didn't get the thing that says take a break now?
Very easy.
No.
It's easy to be on there for 4 hours. I bet it lasts five minutes.
Dude, there people be on there for 8 hours. Holly, what's the longest time you've stayed on TikTok?
I can't necessarily say TikTok, but just being on the internet going back and forth because some things lead you to TikTok, then you end up watching TikTok that leads you back to the Instagram and back to TikTok and all this kind of stuff. But, I mean, I've sat on there honestly, I have done 3-4 hours. Before.
Wow.
I've done 3 or 4 hours.
Come
before.
Close to that.
I've done 3 or 4 hours.
The longest I've been on TikTok was to upload a video. That's it. It's a regurgitation, a combination of Facebook, Instagram, and I mean, it's like a YouTube kind of sort of like shorts. I don't really see the true value in it. I'll never really come across content that's captivating that would keep my attention span. So
you haven't used it long enough?
No, because I think the first thing it was when I first created my account.
It's all naked girls.
Yeah, I'm looking like what?
That's the problem is when you make a new account.
That I'm a part of.
When you make a new account,
it's
always like that's like the default setting for some reason.
Yeah, okay.
So you have to like get past that.
Well, mine's are still on that default setting
on the naked girls.
Yeah, like going there, there's chicks on there, thongs and twerking.
That means he's secretly liking them.
I ain't secretly liking them. I don't be on there long enough to like them.
You know, it's funny because you're right. When I first went on there, it was all booties.
It was it.
Just booties. And then it went to...
That's your algorithm.
No,
the default.
Then it went to, interestingly enough, it went to dead people. and funeral stuff.
Because you're going to be dead. Mm-hmm. She caught you watching it.
Was this like around that time? When?
No, I was. I looked up some. I didn't realize some of this stuff is connected.
Yeah, it's connected to your phone.
Yeah.
And then it says, oh, he's doing a lot of stuff that has to do with funerals. So it starts. Yeah,
because even on Instagram, there's a I was looking up some, and then all this dead people stuff, and then all these people doing funerals on TikTok.
Then you start talking about cigars, and the cigar guys pop up on your feed.
Yeah, no, really.
Yeah.
You have to turn your microphone off. You have to turn your microphone off.
You got to show me how there's to do that.
You can do it in your settings.
There's a bunch of little settings you could do to help you. It's not going to eliminate, but it will reduce the amount of Big Brother watching.
Yeah. He's like repping
me
right now.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. I want to get a feeling for how you guys feel about this. A Minnesota state senator just recently was charged with burglary because she broke into her stepmother's house, allegedly, to steal the ashes of her dead father. So I guess the stepmother was married to the dead father when he died. And let's listen to this.
Whole firestorm surrounding State Senator Nicole Mitchell. The Democrat from Woodbury is charged with breaking into her stepmother's home in Detroit Lakes. And while she denies the charge, Capitol Republicans are calling for her to resign immediately. Today, Senate Republicans filed an ethics complaint against Mitchell and tried to put that on the fast track.
John Crowman joins us live from the Capitol with a recap of what happened today. John?
You know, normally the ethics subcommittee has 30 days.
Why is this political? This is my question.
I was going to say, who cares? Like
she break into the house. She want her daddy.
Yeah.
First of all.
Well, I mean, Republicans are just going to use it as ammo anyway.
But the stepmama should have said, hey, you know what? Come get your daddy for the weekend. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean,
pick the ashes up on Friday. Just bring me the ashes back Sunday. Right? And this is shared custody of your daddy. But why would you break in the house, then they arrest you?
What did you say, Detroit Lakes?
That's in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Yeah, you know who these were. Ain't no black person stealing no ashes. Matter of fact, they don't even want the ashes in their house. Black people you just take them. You take the ashes. Okay? Hey, how many times you been over a black person's house and they got...
I've never seen it.
They got some ashes in the house, Holly.
How many times
you seen it, Holly?
Well, actually, I just recently know somebody that has ashes in the house. But
How long it took you to see that?
The gentleman just recently died, like a year or two ago. Believe me, it's odd to me too.
Yeah,
because I'm like,
they got the gentleman's ashes at the house. Where they sit them?
I need him to go. He's right up on the...
Holly, don't answer that, Holly. Don't answer that. He being petty.
No, where they sit him, Holly? Where they sit him?
I'm going to just tell him. I was going to tell him because it's kind of weird that he sits on the mantle right over the fireplace. Which
I knew it.
I was imagining, too.
It's already hot.
White people.
What'd you say, Holly? It's already hot.
Yeah. This is like meet the parents.
He felt that heat already, huh?
I'm like...
Man, they got Deacon Willie Earl. They got Deacon Willie Earl just sitting
in the fridge there.
Deacon Willie Earl sitting
in the fridge there. I wanted to be nice and cool.
That's normally the spot for some reasons above the man.
I went to somebody's house and they had the lady's ashes on the coffee table, on the coffee table.
That's dangerous,
huh? Like right there.
She wanted to watch TV.
Put it on the couch, I guess.
I think there's certain things that, you know, like I would never keep my loved one. I know a lady, her husband's in the bedroom with her right now. This lady, she keeps her husband in the bedroom.
That means she's never going to be with another man.
Bedroom on the dresser.
She's never going to be with another man.
Really?
You think that's somebody that's thinking about another man if he's in the bedroom?
Huh? We just added some freaks out here.
She is committed. That's a whole other level committed. Yeah.
But no, she keeps it. She's an older lady, but she's not that old, right?
She ain't thinking about another man.
She's got her husband on the dresser in the nice little urn too.
Yeah,
real nice. But it's on the dresser. It's draped really nicely, And she goes to sleep with him right there.
She's still sleeping with Earl.
She's sleeping with Deacon Willie Earl.
She's still sleeping with Earl. Ain't no man going in that room.
Just don't tip him over, though.
So, Stedman, I want to spend a few minutes on this because I was just having a conversation with a friend of ours, Greg, who has a funeral home. And you know Greg. And he was asking me what percentage of black people cremate as opposed to white people. The numbers are significantly greater.
Greater for white people.
White people cremate.
We love to get ashy.
Yeah.
We finally get ashy again.
Oh my God.
Get your boy, man.
Holly, you got to come get me. I'm sorry.
Get your boy, man. But I remember that now more black people are doing it, but I think they're doing it as a cost-cutting measure.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. They're not doing it because they want to do it.
They're not doing it. They want to take them back to the crib with them.
Yeah. Because I know black people will cremate their loved one and don't want nobody want the remains.
Mm. Yeah.
I've seen it a bunch. I'd be calling people like, hey, can you come and get your mama? No, for real. They're just sitting there for forever. Would you please come and get your mama?
No.
Because nobody really wants.
It's got to be a date. Y'all got to, it's like a
deadline.
Expiration date. Mm-hmm. If you don't come pick him up by this time, we're going to
30 days. You got 30 days.
Yeah.
But then there are people who cremate and bury.
Yeah.
That's what we did with my brother. That's what my mom did with my brother, actually. Cremate and bury.
Your mom cremated your brother and buried him?
With my grandparents, yes.
Really?
That was what she wanted.
So really? I don't understand that, though.
Gosh, show my.
If you're going to bury me, bury me.
Man, we need to get away from this death whole thing right now. Talk about something.
No, people know, man. People want to know. People want to know. And I just, people ask me all the time about cremation and why black people don't get cremated.
You do that stuff.
But again,
the only time I don't think I know anyone that's been cremated. The only black people I ever came across, and I ain't really come across them, I came across their ashes.
Mm-hmm.
was in the military. Was doing burial at sea.
Okay, all right.
So we go to the, it's a whole ceremony, 21 gun salute, the whole nine, and you go to the side of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll slowly pour the ashes out so they're buried at sea.
But what if the wind's blowing?
Then you gotta, the ship will kind of navigate in a way to where it doesn't blow back on the ship. It makes sure that it's going in the proper direction to where it blows. It
because you've
blows
seen
up.
That happen before.
You might get some steam on you. I mean, I've
done, in my career, I've probably done 20 of those.
Really?
Mm.
Wow. Yeah. So you've seen some people get some ashes in their eyes?
No. We always went the proper way. Okay, I've never seen
I saw
them.
A service.
No.
With my own eyes, the wind blew. Mm. And I'm so glad I wasn't over there. And people had Mr. Willie Earl all in their face.
No.
Yeah.
And if it's too
windy. Got some Willie in your hair.
Got some Willie in your hair.
No, if it's too windy, we won't
Everybody
even do it. We'll wait till it
comes
down.
But again, the prices of cremation have come down significantly. I just think, and I'm going to be open with this. I've known people to come to a funeral home and spend $24,000 on a service. And I just shake my head because why would you spend $24,000 on somebody that's going to hell?
You know what I mean?
I ain't trying to be funny. This family one time years ago, they came to the funeral home. This guy died in jail, in prison.
I do not support the views of Don Miller.
I don't know.
Maybe
on something.
Wow.
I mean, if I disclaim it.
Guilty by association, my friend. Sorry.
They come in there. They spend 20-some thousand. And this guy died in prison for murder of a mother, father, and the kid.
He's going somewhere.
He dies in prison. Mm-hmm. And the family comes in, and I didn't know the dude that died in the joint, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to my buddies handling the service, and he knew the dude died in the joint. And they were like, oh, we want this suit. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's a nice suit. And they went, we want this, this casket spray. Oh, that's a really nice $1,800 casket. Oh, we want that and we want this. And they just ordering all this stuff. And he just keep hitting it, boom, adding up. And it's like 24,000.
Well, of course.
Yeah. We want an extra hearse. Ain't nobody seen this dude, keep in mind, except for on a Saturday.
We want an extra 16 hearse.
16 years.
But you get an extra hearse.
Not an extra limo.
Oh, okay.
He been in jail 16 years. The only time they see him is on a Saturday, right? Mm. So they floated up on this bill, and then the mother, of this guy had always kept an insurance policy on him, right? This is interesting when you come from the urban community. There's somebody always had an insurance policy on that person who you knew was going to do something foolish, right, Jay?
Yeah.
And so
a burial policy.
A burial policy, right, yeah. And the policy was like $50,000.
Oh, that's an expensive burial policy. Yeah, I'm thinking $10,000. Yeah, $15,000.
Oh, yeah.
That's normally the normal. Yeah, $50,000 on somebody's trying to come up.
Yeah. So they kept half of it.
Yeah.
Because she knew he was going to be dead. Yeah, she knew either somebody was going to kill him or something was going to go out. So he spent 16 years. He dies in jail. And I'm sitting there scratching my head like, y'all just spent $24,000 on somebody who's on a monorail to hell.
So for reference, what's like the average that a family would spend?
Depending. Okay, the funeral industry is very diverse in terms of ethnicity.
So if you're saying 24 is high, what's like a more normal?
Oh, the average funeral in the black community, can I do that?
Sure, yeah.
Is between 7 and 11.
Okay.
The white community, that number can start at 11.
It gets predatory.
Yes. It is predatory. Predatory.
It is.
You got a white people walk in and you go, okay, we can start at 11.
Because it's emotion.
we can start higher. Yeah.
They praying on that emotion.
Yeah. Yeah, black folks just trying to get by. They trying to get by.
But oftentimes we spend more food on the afterpass. But again.
It's called repass.
Afterpass.
It's called repass. Afterpass. I don't know what afterpass is.
I have been saving a story that I want to get into coming up after this break. We turn the corner. I've been saving this story of the trauma that was inflicted upon me and Jay the other day something that made both of us, two guys from urban America, from the hood, have second thoughts about how we see certain conversations. You're listening to the Don Miller Show, Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
The Shannon Burke Show.
Guy wants to go rob a store, tries it three times. First time he goes in, makes it look like he may have a gun. The clerk, dude, get out of here. You don't have a gun. Comes again, tries the same thing. 3:05 a.m., he comes back to the store for a third time. This time, a 5-foot snake wrapped around his neck. Said, give me the damn money. I'm a snake will get you.
He's going, hiss.
The Shannon Burke Show. Weekdays at 2 p.m. East, 1 Central on Florida Man Radio. Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Oh, man. Thank you so much, man. Holly.
Yo.
Man, I'm so damn stressed out, man.
What's going on, bro?
Man, I'll be all right. I got to push through this one, but I am really stressed out.
You gotta I got to stop answering my phone
during the show. Shout out to Gonzo, who came and spent some time with us today. Real Rap King.
What up?
I want to tell a story.
Did Gonzo leave?
Yeah, Gonzo left, and Jonathan gigantic-ass Morris is sitting in the chair.
What's up, everybody?
Oh, wow. What's up, Jonathan?
I'll take that as a compliment, because I'm 291 on the scale today.
Oh, you lost weight?
Yeah, I'm down 8 pounds.
Okay. But when you go back by the restaurant, you gained that back.
Congratulations.
Yeah, in Blue Fridge.
Hey, let me say this, everybody. Again, got a lot to get to today. Oftentimes, the conversation is just random conversation. We appreciate your input. Shout out to Mike, who's listening. Jay, Mike sent me a message just now. Mike, who gets people wasted.
Oh, that Mike.
Yeah, okay. And he said, change the subject. We were talking about something that was morbid. Again, look, I want to talk about something. And interesting enough, you're in here.
All right.
Okay. Ain't it interesting that he's in here, huh?
I'm the right one for it.
We gonna see.
All right, let's lay it on me.
Holly, so the other night, Sunday night.
Saturday night. Both these incidents was back to back. You realize that, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we had a long day.
The stripper?
Yeah, we had a long day. Right.
Yeah.
So Jay and I and Jay's lovely bride were sitting minding our business. And Jay always gets me.
Nah, you're going to tell the truth when I'm here now.
No, Jay always gets me. Jay always gets at me because I always speak to people, right? Hey, how you doing? You know, come on, I speak to people, right? And I got to tell you, speaking to people has benefited me. It's worked out for me.
All right.
You never know who you're going to run into, right? So even though Jay punches me a lot about it, he understands because he speaks to people now. And he never speaks to
people.
Yes, you do say hi.
Man, I don't
know. I'm you say hi.
If somebody speaks to me and they say hello, I'm going to return.
But when I first met you, you wouldn't even speak when I said hello, if you recall.
Because it came up like a...
Huh?
You come up, we're going to tell the truth of how
when I first met you.
You want to tell the truth of how I first met you?
Yeah, tell the truth.
I'm sitting there. I'm trying to figure out, you know what I mean? My wife, first time down here. I've been flying back and forth working here. We at the spot one night, minding our business. Guess who comes up, banging on the window right next to us, talking about, come outside to serve me. Hey, so he came disturbing our peace.
Right.
This is how I met this prick.
Okay.
Right? And then he tried to say, oh, how y'all doing? That's too late. And my mind said a little different. I'm looking at this guy like, he don't lost his damn mind.
Yeah, you forgot he was the man. You didn't know he was the man.
So Jay is from an area.
Didn't know he was the man.
Jay is from an area where we lived on 10. We lived on 10. We pay attention. We don't sit with our back to the street, the whole nine yards, right?
Yeah.
So I guess my initial knocking on the window, because I wasn't booming on the window.
Yeah, absolutely. What me do?
Okay.
You're the second opinion?
Okay, anyway. But so I said, hey, how you doing, man? And he was like, what's up?
Like get from
now. I'm trying to see. I'm trying to see.
Get up off me. Yeah.
I'm trying to see. What,
right? Give me three.
I'm trying to see his attention.
Give me 3 feet.
Yeah, give me 3 feet. Get back.
I'm trying to see his attention. I was checking your temperature.
So
eventually... we have become great friends, but that's how we met.
And then he tried to bribe me with a drink after that.
I said, hey, man, let me get you a drink.
Oh, yeah, he tried that.
I'm like, I don't want that.
I don't know you like that. Where they offer drinks at? Where I come from, don't nobody offer nobody no drink.
They got something in it. They got a Mickey in it or something.
Let's check out some open mics real quick before we go into this conversation.
Hey, this is Lucille. Do you guys ask for big, beautiful women to call your show? I think you guys are wonderful, gorgeous, and sexy. Keep it up. Well, I will.
Wow.
Hey, y'all. Lando here, Fort Walton Beach. Hey, with the woman with the dressing thing, that's you know, it's a woman thing. You know, women dress a certain way.
Nah.
Unless you're out to make money from a man, women dress to intimidate other women. They don't dress to impress a man. Because all a woman needs to do to impress a man is either show up or take something off. So when a woman dresses up, it ain't for the man. It's to intimidate other women. Beedoo, beedoo, I'm out.
That's an angle.
Oh, Lord. Don just said Bukkake.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Awesome from Tampa. Hey, when it comes to those ashes, you can't, like, split them up. You get half, this person gets half, or it all has to be in one container. I don't know how that crap works. I know we had our great-grandparents' ashes. My grandmother did for a little bit, but we don't have that crap no more. I don't want no damn ashes in my house. What the hell? Hey, buddy, what are you doing today? How you doing over there, man? Yeah, you want a drink? You want a beer? All right. Hey, Austin from Tampa again. I'm not gonna lie, a couple of years ago, I almost thought about opening up a cremation office. Like, why not? There's so many people out here that get cremated and stuff, especially in Florida, because all the older people, they retired down here, man. So you start a little burning facility, start a couple thousand dollars or whatever, how much it costs, and damn, you're rich in a couple months.
I have a girlfriend whose husband passed early, and he wanted to be cremated. They were in California and wanted to be scattered over the ocean. So she went up in a small plane, and the wind blew it all back, all over her. And I think she ended up eating part of him, which was not what she was expecting.
Hey, Holly, if I die before you, I'll get cremated, and you can spread my ashes over Augusta National at the Masters, because that's the only way I'm going to get to play there. Beedoo, beedoo.
Okay, that's a different angle.
Took my mother-in-law's ashes to Tallulah Falls up in North Carolina. We were going to spread them over into the waterfall. Started spreading them, shaking it, you know, getting them all out. Big gust of wind came, blew her back all over us. You could see our footprints where we were all standing. Nice. I guess she got the last laugh.
Okay, we're going to move on from the ashes story of people trying to get rid of their loved ones and it's blowing back in their face.
But real quick, I don't think it's a black white thing. You were talking about it earlier when I was driving in.
Yeah.
Where I come from, it's a Bible thing. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. They bury you in the ground and you're resurrected. I don't know nobody where I come from, Pahokee, that ever been put in an ash jar.
Really?
We all get buried.
Wow.
We got them stand-up ones for the Spanish people.
Yeah.
Where you go, and it's got the wall, and they all in the wall.
The stand-up.
And, Spanish. And then the rest of, you know, the rest of them.
They standing up.
It's like a standing up.
It's called a mausoleum.
Okay. We call it the stand-up place.
Jay, what's wrong with him, man?
Man, leave
I got
leave
one word, Pahokee.
Hey, give us a call, 321-339-10. Oh, listen, crazy. Drop us an open mic. I got to have this conversation. So Jay and I.
Oh, yeah.
Jay and I are sitting, minding our business. Jay and I have been having a good time, pre-birthday celebration for my boy, and him and his lovely wife. And we're just people walking by. We're just kind of people watching, having some wine. And this lady walks by, and I make the mistake of saying, hey, how you doing?
Okay, you're telling the truth. I'm proud of you.
Let's say, hey, how you doing? I say, hey, hello.
All right.
She turns to us and says, what up, y'all?
Yeah, she turned on.
What y'all doing?
I wasn't expecting this.
Then she said, man, what's up? What y'all on, man? What y'all? I'm out here just moving it. No. Listen to this.
I'm listening. And I know what's going on.
I'm like,
I was afraid.
And I'm like, beg your pardon? And she's like, yeah, you know, I'm from the O.
From
and
the
I'm
O.
Like, oh, she's like, Oviedo.
Oviedo, not Orlando?
No,
not that part of Oviedo, though.
She I'm goes from to Jackson.
Oh, Jay Hill, baby.
Jay Hill, Oviedo. What? And we looking at her, she's like, yeah, man, I'm out here in these streets like that. What y'all drinking? And I'm looking at this white lady like.
Oh, it's a white lady.
What?
You waited to tell us that.
No.
You waited to say that.
No, he said it too soon.
Right. He did. You didn't let that cat out the bag.
No. He should have waited later because y'all thought it was a black girl saying
the whole time. No.
So she was like, man, what's up? And, you know, and she was going on to me, yeah, I grew up in the old man. I'm out here, I'm, you know, getting this money.
I ain't from that part of old.
How much did she weigh? Ballpark.
140.
Oh, she wasn't a big girl. She wasn't a big
girl.
Little girl.
She went on and on and like, yeah, I'm out here in the, you know.
And you knew Leroy.
So she says, yeah, I was out, you know, I've been messing around with, man, my ex-boyfriend, you know, he a brother and yada, yada, yada. And
she said she liked the brothers.
Yeah, she I like
then I started touching my wife immediately.
Yeah, I like them. She said, I like them brothers and all that. And she just like, you close your eyes.
Oh, yeah.
You think she's black. Yeah. Like,
all right.
It was in her spirit. It was coming up out of her.
Yeah.
No, listen. So she had met another white lady in the bar. Listen to this.
I'm listening.
They go out together to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
The other lady in the bar, she must have
not. She didn't know what she was getting into.
Because it was her and her sister from Oviedo and the lady who's visiting from Boston.
Oh, boy.
No, they just moved here.
Okay, they're here now.
Yeah,
okay?
They just moved there.
So the lady says, when I'm weird, the lady's looking at us, and she's like, I just met her in the bar. I just met her in the bar. And I said, you from Boston?
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
like, yeah, I'm from Boston, right?
Yeah.
And the chick was going on and on. And finally, Holly, she was like, yeah, I was messing around with Leroy. I said, Leroy from Oviedo? And she's like, yeah, Leroy, you know Leroy Jackson? She was like, yeah, man, I was dropping it off for Leroy, man. I was down for Leroy. I was putting
money on his commissary.
I was putting money on his commissary when he was locked up. You know, then he gonna out. He gonna come out and he gonna drop me and run off up with Rowana.
Yeah.
And she started calling Rowana that B, yada, yada, yada.
Her stuff ain't better than mine's.
Her stuff ain't.
She went that far.
She ain't say stuff either.
No, she said the thing.
For radio purposes.
I got you.
So she like, you know, she like talking like she is ghetto, low-level basement ghetto.
And
right?
Like y'all known each other 100 years.
Well, I ain't never seen this lady in my life.
Right.
So her sister, who's actually a really white lady.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is saying to her, come on. And I'm like, we trying to cut the conversation short. I take full responsibility of shouldn't have even spoke to her, right? And then she does this. She drops the N-word.
Oh, yeah. Comfortably.
Wait, well, ER, UAG,
it don't make a difference.
It
definitely makes the difference. Yeah, I'm not going to lie about that. But it was GGA.
Yeah. Right. But it was definitely flowed off.
Yeah.
flowed off just like she says it every day.
Just saying goodbye,
right? Yeah. She was talking about her kids and just boom, 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 boom. Talking about Leroy, how good her vagina was.
Surprised she had box braids.
Right. But
that's all she was missing.
But you know what happened that at that moment? I did not get offended.
You shouldn't have.
And no, let me tell you why I didn't get offended. I something was wrong with her. You follow me, Jay?
No, I'm with you.
100%. Something was deeply.
I feel sorry for her, to be honest.
Yes, it was disturbing. The way she engaged was disturbing, which brought me to a point where there are people out here, guys. And I grew up, I didn't know any white people till I was older, as Jay did, right? But there are places in this country today where you can go, and that is a common engagement among whites, that kind of talk, right?
Yes.
The dropping of the N-word.
Well, especially going on social media.
Right. The dropping of the N-word to each other. Okay? And so I'm looking at her, and I'm starting to feel sorry for her. What did you surmise?
I surmised the same thing because it was, to me, you seen a surprise on the other white lady's face that was from Boston. Mm-hmm. So clearly she was engaging a different way inside the restaurant than she was engaging with us. It was clear.
Oh.
Because when they came out the restaurant, they looked like, she's unassuming. That's right. What I said. What came out of her completely surprised me. Right. So she had like a little flowery sundress on, you know, so sandals, nothing, you know.
Right.
So then the moment Don Miller does what he does, he wants to talk to everybody, right?
No strangers. Hey, how you doing?
Right? He never met a stranger. He's never met a stranger, right?
I started that, by the way, just so you know, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Very awkward.
So he said hi, and it was like a light switch went on. It was like, oh, these my people.
She engaged y'all like y'all were on the street.
She engaged them like she was at work.
Right.
She engaged us like she was outside.
Two different personalities. She has two different two different people. She's two different people in one body.
Yeah. It's almost like she has two people battling inside of her for space. You know what I'm saying? Like she has a real identity crisis.
I'm glad y'all saved this for me because I understand. I didn't know many 100% white people growing up. I grew up in Pahokee. I grew up on a cane plantation. And I didn't know, except for one guy that we beat up, and we shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I did not know except one homosexual until I moved to Central Florida 14 years ago. I didn't.
I didn't know one growing up.
If they were there, they didn't talk about it.
Yeah, I didn't know one growing up as well.
Every crew group I was in, it was where you lived, the street, the sect, the town. It wasn't black, white, Spanish. We used the GGA word. We used the cuz, the homie, in just friendship, engagement, that's my, and you would call it out, and it could be a stone cold cracker or a Hispanic or a black guy. It could be anybody. We yelled it from the basketball courts in organized sports, on the football field, in the weight room. At church, it was not a bad word. I did not know there were first letter words until I moved to Orlando and I was talking to a dude that I saw from Pahokee at the farmer's market. And I was like, oh, Amy, that's my, and I was like, hey, what's up, man? Come on. And we were hanging, and he's like, hey, man, you can't talk like that up here. I was like, talk like what? And I had only been in Orlando like 3 weeks, all right? I didn't know you couldn't say the F word and like, man, stop being, I didn't know all that. But I wasn't two different people. And it took me about 3 years to realize you really offend people. Like where I came from, it wasn't offensive.
You know what?
But that's just the way it was. Now, this girl here may have split personalities.
No, I think she has fallen into an identity crisis that we see a lot.
Yeah, I think it's more of an identity crisis.
We see it a lot. If you go back to Rachel Dolezal, if you recall, Rachel Dolezal was the white lady from Washington State who identified as black and was the president of the local NAACP chapter. Remember her, Holly? She was a cartoon
character.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She had braids, what they call them, the big braids, Jay.
The cornrows.
Yeah, she had the cornrows, and she talked with this, you know. But this lady was
darkened her skin.
Yeah, she had darkness. But this lady.
And that's what Ash said. She was missing cornrows.
Yeah, this lady was not well.
And it looked like she was doing something to her skin, but she was like,
yeah, could you tell?
Trying to make it darker.
We asked her how old she was, and she said 40 some, and we were like, no, you ain't 40 some. You look like you.
I'm talking about the Rachel chick.
Yeah, Rachel Dolezal had darkened her skin.
Okay, I'm talking about Rachel chick.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's something psychologically wrong with those people.
But is it?
Yeah.
Now I don't know. And I'll give you an example. Is it? Because I'll give you an example with this lady. This lady cold switched at a very high level.
And it's clear because, like I said, she startled the woman she walked because obviously she was engaging differently
at
the bar.
She walked out the bar with the lady from Boston that she was sitting at the bar. Because
the lady
with.
From Boston kind of did like this.
Whoa, like where the hell is that? Right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
See, is that a game? Or is that she lives two different lives?
I think she got an identity crisis.
Yeah. But you think she lives two different lives at home and in the street?
No, she.
That maybe mom and daddy don't know about.
No, that mom and daddy, mom and daddy know about it. The husband, she married to a guy who passed away, and she started dating probably early on. She probably started dating black men.
Yeah, she said she loved her brothers.
Yeah, and depending on the level of black guy you date
can influence your outcome.
Can absolutely influence your outcome, right?
Right.
And so
this man made her want to change her whole background.
But it's just funny because we don't look and we didn't look like those type of black people. Now, let me just say what I mean by this. She walks up to a table at a very nice restaurant. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
And sees some black people and immediately goes in the hood.
Assumed.
Right? Goes right in the hood, level 7 hood. What up, y'all?
Right.
You know,
slow down. She gonna fight one of y'all, maybe.
Slow down. You know, we may be members of the NAACP chapter. You know what I mean? She's that women, like, right in the hood. Like, what up? What's up? What y'all on? What y'all on?
What y'all drinking?
Right.
Jay Hill.
With an A, not an I. Jay what y'all drinking?
It's called Jackson Heights.
But she said Jay Hill, though.
Yeah. So I'm saying to myself, I know there are people out here like this, but they generally stay in the zone.
She,
at least until they get more familiar with the people, the person.
Well, y'all were in Lake Mary. Where were y'all?
Lake Mary.
So she had no business in Lake Mary in that restaurant. If her real life was B life.
But we don't know because I'm telling you, when she walked out there to smoke with that lady from Boston, they were having a white lady conversation as they walked.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, the weather's so nice out here. It's really nice. We can smoke over there. Yeah. And that's exactly what I heard.
Yeah.
And that whole tone just...
Yeah.
And then...
No, it did, huh?
It was done.
So, maybe
we can smoke over. There's an ashtray. Let's smoke over there. Yeah, sure. And they're walking away. Okay, you know, so you're from Boston? Yeah, I'm from Boston. I'm from Oviedo.
Oh, y'all heard her talking.
I'm telling you, it's like a switch.
I got you.
Yeah, and then her sister has seen this before.
Yeah, she's definitely seen this before.
She rushes out.
Yeah.
And says, what she says.
Pretty much, that's enough. Leave him alone.
Leave him alone. That's enough.
Right.
And I totally turned.
Wow.
I totally.
You were doing too much.
No, I said, it got to a point where I said, all right, you can leave now.
Yeah, he did say
I'm
that.
I'm like, it's time for you to go.
I been got out the car, though.
Let me ask you this. Could you read her body language? Did she feel like y'all were in the wrong spot? She was trying to make y'all feel welcome?
No.
Or she just saw somebody she could get down with for a minute?
She thought
she could get down and be cool for a minute.
She thought she seen her cousins in them.
All right.
Oh, wow.
No, for real. She thought, these are my people.
And I'm going to just ask a straight up question. Was she attractive?
No.
No, not at all.
To look at?
No. No, she really thought, like, these are my folks.
That can change the way you hear.
No,
they don't change nothing. I heard what I heard. I don't care what she looked like.
So let me ask you this.
If she was super fine, you'd be like,
She's
not
ignorant, I bet.
Nah, it ain't how it works.
But see, this is what I'm trying to get across. People like that, I'm not this guy anymore. I'm educated. I was educated in Pahokee. When I realized it offended people to their core, I quit. Every once in a while, I'll slip up and say something, and I have to catch myself. Because it still comes out of everyone in the right atmosphere. It just it's part of the sentence.
But I can tell you, to Holly's point, she was a beat up, a booger wolf, but she wasn't attractive. Okay, she's a booger wolf.
But my question is, if she had to drop the N-word, would you have got the same impression about the whole conversation?
No, the N-word just solidified it.
Yes. Okay, all right. That's what I'm trying to get at.
I already got
the
cup.
With the word.
The moment she said, I'm from the old J. Hill MF-er.
You knew.
She proved your thesis.
Oh, Lord.
But let me just say this. And somebody asked me this. I was telling a story the other day. It was just another racist white lady. I was like, I don't think she was racist.
No, I don't think she was racist at all. I really believe that she believes in her mind.
Right. That it was okay.
Everything was okay. Like, and it's like, even if it was okay, right? Even if you was in the environment where you use it, that was the wrong place to be on that.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that kind of made it. Now I'm sitting there with my wife. Uh-huh. We're sitting there having a great conversation, right? Then the white lady from Boston came up still between you and Ash, pretty much like at the right back of y'all. Uh-huh. She comes pretty much looking at me talking about how she like brothers. So I had to turn my chair and rub on my wife. Right. Then she talking about, oh, I like how he just started rubbing on his wife.
Oh, okay. Right.
So
that's 100% ignorant street level.
Yeah. This is totally different.
Yeah.
So it's like, then she start, J. Hill, MF. Right. It's like.
Yeah, she was cussing.
And there's other people around, or y'all just kind of by yourself?
We kind of by ourselves, but people are kind of walking past. But
is she loud talking this?
Oh, she's loud.
So she wants everybody to see her.
Oh, no, yeah, you know what's interesting? She was hand-signaling, hand-gesturing. Yeah. And again, I was talking to a friend of mine about it, and he was like, man, that's racist. No, I don't.
She got BTSD.
What's that?
That's Black Trauma Syndrome D. She saw y'all in the click inside her mind. And, you know, the military had
Black trauma syndrome.
Body language went from Catholic Church First League to women's prison gangster boom.
Yeah, who said that? Who told
my wife.
Oh, wow. Your wife is a wonderful lady, by the way.
Thank you.
And what I know, y'all were not re-engaging her with hood, gangster,
no
ignorant speech.
I didn't really say that.
You didn't say, yo, what up? You were like, hey, how you doing?
No, listen to me. I said, hello, how are you?
That's all he really said.
Yes.
But that's all it took.
Yeah. We wasn't like, what up, shawty? None of that.
Right? What set you claim?
Oh, no. But it was just interesting because for those who know me know, I know in Central Florida, I know a lot of people, right? Very familiar with a lot of people in the area. So she's telling
him. Yeah, you knew Leroy.
She's talking about this guy that she dated.
That you knew.
Named Leroy. And I was like, Leroy? I know Leroy. And she was like, well, you know, I was down for him. I was down for Leroy. And then Leroy left me for some other lady. And I know my pee is better than hers. And
what?
Absolutely.
In front of your wife.
Yes. Absolutely.
So that's an insult to your wife.
Okay. In a respected establishment.
No, that's an insult straight to your wife because she sees you rubbing on your wife. She makes a comment, you rubbing on your wife. Yeah. She likes that. And then she talks about her.
But let me just say this, right? Drop us an open mic. I think there are people who engage and may come off like this. I don't think this lady had a racist bone in her body.
She had no inclination that she was wrong.
Right.
But let me ask you a question, though, since y'all brought it up.
Right.
Yeah, fine.
And y'all, we play the race card sometimes.
No, that's fine.
Who? Well, I play the race card. I just talk about race a lot.
And that was the wrong way to word it. Okay. We talk about race a lot. Why is it wrong if that's all she knows, and that's her background about brown black people? She don't know nothing else about brown black people but that. Because her skin is white. How is she supposed to know it's wrong until somebody says, hey, I didn't know it was wrong when I moved here. Just somebody put me to the side and said, hey, man, up here, people get offended about that. You can't call people that. Well, I'm not calling you that. You're my friend. That's another word for friend where I came from.
So, Jonathan, what you're saying is we're supposed to educate her?
No, not y'all.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is, why does she have to be racist?
Oh, no, I don't agree. I don't think she was racist.
Or why do people assume people are racist? Like that country singer that yelled that from the balcony to his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tried to cancel me. He's like, I've been calling that guy since I was 5 years old.
Morgan Whalen?
Something like that, yeah. He'd been calling that dude that since they were 5 years old. That's where they come from in the country. They use that word. Now, somebody recorded it. He tried to get canceled because he's a racist. He's like, I'm not a racist.
Yeah, I don't think she was racist at all.
And until somebody says something to people who don't, look, I ain't on social media like everybody else is. Until somebody educates you and says, hey, man, that word, you can use it. But you're going to have hate
anger. But we can take the word out the equation.
I understand that.
Everything else she said, you keep focusing on the word.
No, I'm not focusing on the word.
Get rid of the word.
No, I'm not focusing on the word.
She didn't say the word.
Until the very end.
I'm not saying the word. Yeah. I'm saying in general dialect, somebody of a white or Hispanic skin color drops that word in conversation.
And she said the word right after she
said goodbye to y'all. She was just saying goodbye.
No, that's when I told her to leave. Well, let's be clear. Look, we're going to go to break. I want to break this story open. I want to spend some time on this. You're listening to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Back to The Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Hey, playing a song I know. Oh, that's our theme song?
That's that little white lady theme song. I just played that for
her. Say it loud.
You said the only thing missing was a jukebox on her shoulder.
But you know what's amazing? You know what's amazing?
A boombox.
I want to make an interesting point, guys. You know what's amazing? A white person acts like that, we have a conversation about it.
Right?
White people don't. You think white people sit around when black people are white and say,
I do white.
Yeah, yes, they Tom do. Brady.
Huh?
They yeah, do. Brady, what's up?
Yeah, I think they do sometimes.
They do. No, they do. Absolutely.
If it's overdone.
Yeah.
Stedman, you haven't met a black person, you'd be like, this dude right here. Mm-mm. You never met a black person, you'd be like, he whiter than me.
Okay, yeah.
Stedman, don't lie right here.
Yeah, no, you're right. I have.
This is a true story. I said to a black gentleman.
I know black people that do not have as much black experience as I do. Mm. And I don't have all that much.
Okay, go ahead.
I said to a guy, and I'm not going to call his name out because he's actually going to start doing my taxes. I heard him talking to somebody in front of the bar, and he didn't know who I was yet. First time we met. I go on into my shop. I'm in the back. He comes in. He start talking all square and this. I was like, hey, man, I was outside. When
what
you were
city
outside,
you live in?
Heathrow.
Oh, okay.
Is he black?
He's black, very muscular, bald head, you know, got to drop Mercedes, but he's a professional. So he has what that white girl had. He has two. I'll give you his name off air. He's a straight up dude.
Know him.
He got a beautiful family. Yeah, you'll know him.
No,
he
I
owns
don't.
A big tax firm up in Lake Mary. And he come in and he starts talking all square and all proper. I was like, dude, I don't talk that square. He's like, square? Excuse me? I don't know. No, stop all that. I heard you outside with the dude next door. I was like, I'm from Pahoga, dude. Well, you talk to me any way you want to.
Oh, that was his professional voice.
Yes,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
But I was like, you don't have to talk like that in here. Here, we're family. We get down. You know what I mean? We can dab it out. We can do whatever. We can thumb wrestle. And
but again, I think you are out of place.
Thumb wrestle.
Because maybe he don't feel comfortable talking to white people like he talks to black people.
But again, educating people. I wanted him to know you don't have to be fake with me. Be real with me.
Is that being fake?
Yes.
I think code switching is a part of life.
Why?
I just think it is. I think it should be.
Wow.
No. I think the ability.
I can understand that, Don.
I think, Jay, this
I'm
is,
listening.
This
I'm
is
listening.
Me and Jay.
I'm listening.
I think the ability to quickly recognize.
Read the room. I got what you're saying.
Okay? I understand dialect and slang and words to read the room. But first of all, that's the most racist thing you ever said. So how am I supposed to assume every black person I meet wants me to just get street ghetto with them?
No.
And every white person wants to talk square and proper?
Is
that what you're saying?
I think that this is what we miss often. Dialect does not reflect intellect.
No, absolutely not.
Okay? Right. I got you.
I know some guys at the lowest level of the conversation of what people view as the lowest level. Street guys, convicted felons, right? Armed robbers that I have learned so much from. You got to listen to what I'm saying.
I got you. I believe you.
Mr. Wanzo, you had to listen slowly and attentively to every word that came out of this 80-year-old former cotton picker from Mississippi's mouth. But some of the most brilliant things that I ever learned came from an 80-year-old black man who picked up a book at 27. Listen to what I'm saying. We have to be careful when people don't understand the value in immediately reading the room. I'm sitting here with a guy who is about one of the most hood people I ever met in my life, but he doesn't live in a hood mindset, but the hood mindset will always be a part of who he is because it taught him principles that he didn't learn 20 years in the military, 20 plus years. Listen,
you're talking about him right now.
I'm talking about Jay Kane. Jay Kane's street knowledge trumps his education by far. Don Miller is from them streets. The things I learned in the streets made me a better person, made me want more. So yeah. Oftentimes when people feel like the worst thing you could be is a fake. Let me just say what I mean.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, you got to listen. But you have to see people for who they are and deal with them at that level. There are guys that we sit with, me and Jay, right now, that tell hood war stories. That's never seen a hood war story. Listen, because they're seeing the wrong value in the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
What I saw in the hood growing up made me aware, right?
Right.
I pay attention.
Absolutely.
Pay attention. Jay, pay attention. We as men, listen to this, as black men who come from, look, I don't know my daddy, and I saw the struggle up close. He saw the struggle up close. Statistically, if you look at the big data picture, we ain't supposed to be here. We ain't supposed to be here. So we value what came out of that brokenness for us. Brokenness changed my life. Brokenness made me want more.
Yeah.
You follow me?
I'm living it.
Oftentimes you see these young folk who don't come from this, their drive and their zest is not as great. Would you concur? So I just think we got to see value in people. And if that gentleman, the CPA guy, felt the need to engage at that level, just you didn't have to tell him. He don't have to be the, how you doing, very nice to meet you guy, to you. Let him be that guy to you.
But I don't want him to be.
Well, guess what? Maybe he don't feel comfortable looking at your white skin, speaking with the vernacular of who he is at the base.
So then who's the racist?
That ain't racism.
That's not racism.
We all
have a little bit of the way you were raised, how you were raised, all that. What I'm saying is I felt like I did the right thing by making him comfortable.
But
I want everybody's comfortable.
But maybe
level.
You wasn't making him comfortable in doing that.
We're great friends. Okay, now. Good. He didn't take over all my taxes. Good.
Because
it was a very good conversation.
Had you addressed me like that, I would have been like, man, I'm good the way I engage with different people, man. Right. We all live on levels. And when you see somebody on a certain level in a certain environment, let them stay there. If they bring that level to you or...
Yeah, I moved around in so many different circles and so many different pockets. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think the key has always been the ability to read a room and not exposing things too soon or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I'm always going to be me at the core. Let's not get none of this twisted, right?
Right.
I'm always going to be me at the core. Mm-hmm. But my level of engagement is different. Mm-hmm. Right? And it got nothing to do with your skin. It got anything. Right. I treat, man.
What?
I'm not racist at all. Right? That's what I mean by this, right? I'm probably more friendly to white people than I am black people. I'm just being honest, Don. You agree with that?
First of all, that's because
my level of engagement with black people has been different.
Yes.
Right?
What
I've been forced to do. Right?
All right, right.
So, especially older people, period.
Yes.
But older white people is like, Jay, I know. Hey, what's going on, my man? What you got going on today?
Right.
Right. But I'm not going to talk to him like I talk to Don.
Right.
Right.
Right. Once again, we're talking about interpersonal relationships. I got to be comfortable with you on that level for me to engage you at a certain level.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. I got to be comfortable with you on a certain level to have certain conversations about you. Right. Talk about the past. Talk about upbringings. Talk about different things. Right. Right. Because all that stuff for me was pain. I don't like talking about that stuff.
Right.
So that's not anything I run around and I glorify. I'm from this. I'm from it for real.
I got you. I got you.
So I don't need to walk around with that on the tip of my shoulder. Now, don't bring it off my shoulder. It's going to be bad. It ain't going to go how you think it's going to go.
Right.
But I don't have to engage people like that to let them know I'm real. I'm a real down-to-earth dude.
What he's saying is where we come from, it's offensive when somebody invites you to another level. I think people should get to a level with a person organically.
You can't force it because then it's like
organically. Like, hey, you ain't got to do that. Come on, talk.
Yeah, it's like, man, what you up to?
I don't think you understand that. I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. 2 weeks ago in the basketball gym in Teague, my 12-year-old's laughing. And after the game, we walk to the truck. She's like, Daddy, Mama don't get jealous. She just, it makes her feel so good. But why do you sit with all the older black ladies and y'all having a party down there? And I just said in casual, light conversation, I said, those are my people. And I was like, I tried to sit down at the white end of the gym. It just don't work for me. Right? So I understand exactly what you're saying. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, but I felt like when the guy walked in, I could see he was stuttering to get that part of him out to me. So I simply said, hey, look, man, I was outside with you. You ain't got to talk like that in here to me. He was like, you should have seen the smile of relief on his face. And we dapped it out. And he's like, man, cool, man. He's like, what you got for steaks? What's the best steak? Why the New York strip cost more than a ribeye? And we just immediately, I'm not saying we're best friends. Next day, he brings his wife in and he says to his wife, that's that guy I was telling you about. So apparently, in that situation, maybe I did the right thing. Maybe in other situations, I read it wrong. But I felt like I read him right, that he was having, he put on a face for me that he wasn't very comfortable with.
Oh, I can see that.
And ever since that conversation, me and him talk like we've known each other 100 years.
I can see that point. I've done that.
All right, so I feel like I read that correctly.
Okay.
To let him know you don't got to do that
to
me.
You made it right.
No,
I'm not that guy.
And you got the business out of it, and you made a friend. And I think that's what people, my concern is, and I see it a lot more than I want.
I think some people go out of their way to force that part of them. And it got nothing to do with you. It got people that run around here and they force false imagery that ain't really them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what kind of throws the conversation in the balance off.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. I get it.
Because right now, if you're who you are, organically, people
it's
are going to
be
see
who
it.
You
We're
are.
See who you are.
Right.
I think oftentimes people feel out of place and they feel the need to shift really at a shift real hard. Right. So I'll go back to that lady. That lady is, I don't know her history.
I think she's crying for help.
Really? No, listen, Jay, because reckless, as the old people say, reckless after she walked away from our table, she fell down.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
With a glass in her hand.
I think she was drunk. I think she was over the limit. She was overserved.
So her sister forced her to leave. Remember that part?
Her
sister was like, no, shut up. Shut your mouth. I'm in charge.
Okay.
So it's like, this
is sister
regular.
Sister has seen this behavior.
This is regular.
So her sister was there for loss prevention.
And maybe
keep her from going to jail, keep her from getting arrested, keep her from doing something over
and
the line.
And then she's in every man face and different men's face coming out in and out of the bar. It's like,
So you're right. She got some daddy issues probably.
Maybe the sister says, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take you as far away from any semblance of seeing a black person as we can. We're going all the way over there. Right
Wow.
Now. Think
the
about
L.
it. Hold
to
on. We're going to the L all the way away from the O. So you ain't going
to
run into no blacks, right?
We're going to the H. This is Heathrow.
Oh, y'all are in Heathrow.
Oh, it's
Heathrow.
So like that.
Hey, there's black people in Heathrow.
She said, let me just say that she's like, there's no way we're going to run into any black people.
At this restaurant, no way.
She's like, put on your flower dress. Put on your flower dress.
We're going to find you a wholesome white man tonight.
And she saw us at that table. She lit up like a Christmas
tree.
Hey, when she saw us at that table, she lit up like a Christmas tree.
And the sister just sitting there thinking, oh, Lord. Oh, this thing should be
all. What are the odds?
Like, God hates me.
She was screaming, like, my people. I was
damn.
Like, oh, man, the sister just like put her head down. I was like, nice to meet y'all.
She said, I'm tired of smelling Old Spice.
Also.
See, man, why you got to be like that?
I'm tired of smelling Old Spice.
Also, I just want to let people know this. I think I've said this before. If you run into me out in public and I say, oh, great seeing you, that means I'm gone. Go walk. Good to see you again. Take care. If I say take care, if you hear me say, okay, take care, that means I leave my table, right?
Okay.
Hey, good. There are people who will stand there.
How about you just mind your business and stop speaking to people?
No, listen. I think it's good what he's doing. I started this 2 weeks ago, and my wife is nutting up right now. Because I'll be in any grocery store. I'll be walking down the street. People will shy away from me for some reason. I don't know. I'm a little intimidated.
You really don't know?
Shut up. So I'm like, you know what, baby? I'm trying to show Jesus to people. I want to start showing people the love of Jesus.
You're so damn petty.
I ain't trying to fight no more. I'm getting old. I want to start showing people what the Bible says Jesus is supposed to look like. So I'm walking down. Hey, how you doing? People looking at me all crazy. And I'm going to say this out loud. Do you know the people that talk to me and the people that don't? Every black and Hispanic person responds, hey, how you doing, man? What's up? Hey, what's up, man? Right? And then every once in a while, you get a little thug. Black boy be like, what? Come on, man, calm down. I just said hello. And then we keep walking. Yeah. White people, you watch their knuckles get white on the grocery cart.
Don't you walk up to somebody?
No, I don't walk up to them.
You're walking up to people.
I've never heard that before.
You're like, hey, how you doing?
That's because we are on a mission when we're Publix. No. Get the hell out of there as quickly as we can.
Lady, I wasn't in Publix. That lady grabbed a pocketbook.
Any grocery store.
And then,
hey, listen, sir. You can't run up
I've
on
never
people.
Never heard that.
You can't run up on people.
Wow.
Jonathan running up on people, random people. Talking about,
hey, yo, how you doing today?
No.
Hey, what's up?
Jesus saved.
you know Jesus, I do.
Right, you can't.
Man, I was just talking to him last night, dog. I know.
The people don't want. What? Let me tell you what people don't want.
I don't
want.
Say Jesus you know loves you. I just you say, hey, what, how you doing?
You know what people don't want at Publix?
What?
Aggressive Jesus.
I don't come out with Jesus. I come out with, hey, how you doing? How's your day?
Aggressive Jesus. I don't want aggressive Jesus from a stranger. You ever had somebody hit you?
I just want BOGOs when I go to public.
Holly, you ever had a strange person hit you with aggressive Jesus, Holly?
Oh, absolutely. Just make your nerves all bad. You just, like, now you don't know what to
say. Y'all is crazy.
I saw a lady told me, I'm telling you, I'm sitting by myself. I'll never forget
this. And you spoke to her first?
No, I did not even speak
to
her.
No,
listen to me.
Jesus alive.
This lady walks over to me and said, Jesus told me to tell you something.
Come on.
I swear she said it.
Oh.
And I'm like, huh? She's like, Jesus told me to tell you, he's watching.
I'm like, you tell Jesus to come tell me himself.
No, but people do that. That's aggressive Jesus. Said, Jesus.
That shirt's too tight.
Ain't nobody ever said that to you? Walked up to you and hit you with
it? I just think you spoke to her first.
No, I actually
And the
did.
Fact you're telling a lie using Jesus in the same sentence structure, I think you're dead wrong right now.
He's
bad
because the lady said Jesus told me to tell you to buy a bigger shirt. The butt distressed.
Oh, wow.
Yo, you can't win for lose, man.
No, I'm telling you, I did not tell this lady.
You ain't say nothing to her first.
I didn't
did
even
you look
see
at
her.
Did you look at her?
No, I didn't even see her. She was behind me. And she just walked up and the guy was
So
the
did
guy.
She straddle you?
But the guy at the bar, the bartender said, man, she's always in here.
She's always looking for you.
In a bar.
To tell you what Jesus told her.
Yeah, she finally found you. Now she can go home and have her latte.
Message delivered. Won't he do it?
But that's what Jonathan, you.
No, I don't say nothing about Jesus. I said I was showing Jesus' love. By just being, instead of being this 291-pound, 6'3" guy walking around looking like I'm a blow up.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, good morning. How you doing? Hey, how you doing, sir? Just that's all I'm doing. I'm not even saying Jesus' name.
And then you hit them with Jesus when they respond.
No, only the ones that look cross at me. I'll be like, don't make me send you to Jesus.
Now, you know what's interesting, though?
Yeah, show them that escalated. How do we get to sending people to Jesus?
Again, that's why.
That's why people don't talk to him.
Hey,
man.
Gosh, almighty.
That's not even talking about.
Hey, Don, so how you been doing today? First time I see you all day. I don't know what y'all are doing.
I'm going to wave my flag.
We just got a message for Jonathan. They say he sounds a bit urban, scaring white folk, okay?
Y'all know when I started the morning show, and people would come out to my store, to the farmer's market, I would talk. Watch them look, and I'd shut up, and I'd talk, and they'd be looking, and then finally I'd yell out.
For the black guy.
Finally I'd yell out, I ain't black. I'd yell out, I ain't black. And then everybody start laughing. They'd be like, oh, you're the guy on the radio, man. We thought you were black.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. So they go over there.
Don't profile me, man.
They go over there. They go into they go to support a minority business.
Yeah. And not only am I not a minority, I'm a big-ass cracker with 8 kids running around from the same wife. Like one baby mama. That brings you to a reason.
You're a minority.
Yeah.
My wife gets so disrespected. That's the biggest question she gets from stranger women. Mm. Women meet her. Oh, they're all from your husband? And she's like, why wouldn't they be? You know?
Yeah, come on now. That's a cheap time. There's a lot of reason they wouldn't be.
Why?
Because
why are they happy to get married?
Eight kids with one woman.
You are one man and one woman.
You are an
anomaly. No, we understand.
You an anomaly. So when a woman asks a woman, you an anomaly, big guy.
All right.
Do the numbers right now.
I'll spell it for you later, John.
Okay. When a woman asks that, because 90% of women who have 8 kids.
Got 3 baby daddies.
Got at least
9.
Got a miscarriage.
No, no, wait. 9 baby daddies.
90. In the modern era,
probably at least 5.
Our grandmas had 9 kids, right? Yeah. 9 in a row. Right.
Mm-hmm.
5 kids is the number right now. Would you agree? 5 to 6. Those people don't have the same baby daddy. Generally, where I come from, if a guy hit it twice and you get 2 kids, he moving on. He don't want that hit.
Yeah, I get it.
That's a child support hit. You know what I mean?
Wow.
No.
I get it. I understand. But I believe in one wife, one life. It's cheaper to keep her. All that stuff you want to say, I got to, you know,
How about you love her?
Now more than ever in the world.
Okay, so say that.
That's
all you need to say.
That's enough. What you just
you don't need to say cheaper to keep her and all that. Just say I love her.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, I've heard all the stuff.
Okay.
Because in Pahokee, there's a lot of baby daddies running around there. And that's why my wife was not from Pahokee.
Okay.
Her daddy was in the, he was a jump out pilot. So she went back and forth from Norfolk, Virginia to Marin County, California.
Is he still alive?
Yes. He looks just like Tom Hanks. He got a little short shorts on with his balls hanging out and high top tennis shoes.
Does he like black?
No.
He don't like blacks, does he?
No. He left Amy's mom, got a white lady in Virginia, got two kids and a fence around the house, and we ain't talked to him. We call him Daddy Don, one of her stepdaddies.
Daddy Don.
Yeah, it's one of her half-brother's dad. Uh-huh. It's been more of a grandfather and a father to
Amy. Y'all sound like some po-ass white people.
Yeah, we were.
They sound like some po-ass white
people. That's what I'm saying. Don't wrap me up in the wife's skin color.
Hold on. We're going to go to break. We come back. You listen to the Don Miller Show.
Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Turn that up.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Is that Rhinestone Cowboy? Glenn Campbell.
Yep, that's exactly who that is. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Quickly, Jay Kane had to split just now. He had to get out of here. But guess who was in the lobby of the studio just coming by to get something else?
Tagged her in like a good WWE match.
Hey, you.
What's up?
D'Amica Paige was in the lobby of the studio. She ain't working today. She ain't working today.
Why you say that?
You was.
I was working.
Oh, well, she was working.
Wait, I don't know why you love to pretend like this is the only thing I do.
She wasn't working on the Don Miller Show. That's what she wasn't doing. But if you were in the vicinity of the
show. Isn't he terrible, Holly?
Holly, if she is in the vicinity of the show, you working, you got to come in. You was outside doing
something.
That's
the
rules.
I don't
know what you're doing. You make up.
You was outside.
So
if you're within a 5 mile I-4, you better get off this.
If you're within a 5 mile radius, you got to come.
Driving by I-4 is in the lobby.
That's what that means. That's exactly what that means. If you are not in Leesburg,
that means I'm in the lobby.
That means you need to be on the show. That's all. Am I right?
Yeah. If you not up to your other job, then you got to be here.
Up to the other job. Where you at? Up to the job. real quick, thank you so much for popping in, D'Amica Paige. Again, sure. You can find us here Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Shannon Burke comes up next, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, the Shannon Burke Show. Shannon is followed by Jesse Kelly and in the morning, Bubba the Love Sponge in the studio with us, 4 to 6 on Saturdays, right here on Florida Man Radio, 4 to 6. Jonathan Morris from Between the Ribs. Interesting conversation every Saturday, right here on Florida Man Radio, 4 to 6. And HH is with you on that one, too, right?
Heather. That's right, yes.
So, yeah.
And we got a special guest in this Saturday. I don't want to give any secrets away, but tune in this Saturday. We're going to have a special guest.
Okay, let's check out some open mics. Go for it.
Hey, Don Miller, Richard from Crestview. Just like to give a shout-out to Jay today. He's been on top of it. Y'all have a great show.
When I die, just send a little bit of my ashes to the Deuce Factory so I can be ran through one more time.
Oh, wow. Snaps.
Hey, guys. Pete the Pool Guy here. Yeah, man, I'm a mixed-raced person from Bahamas. And, you know, my mom's from Trinidad, dad's from Bahamas. And I, you know, can mesh with black people, white people, brown people, whatever, man. You know, the unfortunate part about it is, you know, I'm successful in business and I talk... call it white and black to whoever I'm with, you know, but I think more black people foul on black people for being white, which is just wrong.
Don, you're whiter than Stedman.
Don Daytona. Jonathan, I'm the same way. I see someone in public, we make eye contact to say, hey, how you doing? How's your day? How's your afternoon? And the people that shy away from me the most are middle-aged and older white folks. I don't get it. I'm not intimidating. At least I don't think I am. I'm just trying to be friendly. Common courtesy. We have lost track of common courtesy in this country and our culture, and we should try to bring it back.
Wow.
Yeah. Bidu
bidu. Bidu bidu. Common courtesy, that brought it all the way back because I think you're right. But it's tough. If you look at the times we were in, people are nervous. People are afraid. people are, I've seen more road rage than I've ever seen in my life. Road rage ending in death more than I've ever seen. People are just not in a interesting, in a good space. D'Amica, you and I talked about the space that many Americans are in right now. Many Americans are on edge right now. They've scared the heck out of us with what's next, what's coming down the pipes. They've affected the economy to such an extent that we like, oh, wow, okay. And now they're constantly putting things in front of us to tell us that we can't trust anyone.
No, you're right.
And, and so when you're walking down the street and you speak to somebody, and I do it, and I think I got to kind of pull back on doing it. But when you, people just aren't friendly. And if you speak to somebody just to say hello and then they come back and say something crazy, then there's a situation. So I'm just going to nod here. I'm hitting with a head nod.
I think you're wrong, unfortunately. I think like what Todd was saying, when I use the expression to show the love of Jesus, it's not to preach Jesus with your mouth. Just to start getting back to saying, hey, how you doing? Recognize humanity on a basic level and speak to people when you pass them. There was a day where you spoke to people, you waved to people. Mm-hmm. And now we're all, like you said, we're stuck on our phone, we're stuck in our stress, we're stuck in our doubts and our worries and our fears. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't know that person's life you're going to change by saying hello to them.
I need you to hear me out. D'Amica and Holly will say this. I speak to everybody.
I know you do.
I'm saying
don't pull back.
I'm getting burned out on the reaction that I'm getting more often than not. You follow
but
me?
But if that's who you are, I don't think you should let people change who you are.
I don't want to put myself, my life in jeopardy. Follow me? That's where we are, Holly. There are people. I spoke to a guy the other day, and he looked at me like he wanted to kill me. Mm-hmm. I just said, hey, how you doing? Okay? And he looked at me like he wanted to kill me, guys.
Mm. And people think that if you speak to them, you have ulterior motives.
Yeah, and I was like,
even if you just say hi.
I was like, that was weird.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but I'm of the mindset that I'm not going to let people change who I am. I'm going to give you an example. I deal with a lot of seniors, as you know, and there was a confrontation between two other older women. Mm-hmm. They got into it. And I just tried to be the peacekeeper. Mm-hmm. But in my effort to be the peacekeeper, one of the ladies took offense to me trying to be the peacekeeper. And she stopped talking to me, and she just became flat out rude. I mean, when I tell you flat out rude, I mean ugly rude to me. And I just made up in my mind, because there were people like, ooh, I wouldn't deal with her. But I'm just not that kind of person.
Right.
So I spoke to her every single time. And she would roll her eyes. I kept speaking to her. I was bringing her gifts. Because I'm just not going to let you change. I'm not going to let you change who I am.
You
can be ugly. You take that to your God, whoever your God is. Y'all had that conversation. But I'm not going to allow you to make me bitter because you got an issue. And you know what happened?
You beat her down.
One day I came in. True story. One day I came in. She said, I need to talk to you.
Good.
She said, I told my husband what happened, and he got on to me, and I want to apologize to you.
Good. Because she felt like you abandoned her, and you didn't take her side in that fight, and she held that internally. And I've only been doing this for 2 weeks. I've had two people get cross with me.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the one dude, I was like, yo, man, I was just saying, hey, how you doing? I don't even know you.
Right.
And then he kind of nodded what up and ended up walking away. The other dude didn't respond. So I think when people come out aggressive, defensive, you have to be willing to have that next conversation. Be like, hey, man, I didn't mean nothing by it.
Exactly.
I'm just saying hello.
Exactly.
You know, I don't like passing people without speaking.
Exactly.
And keep on moving.
And I explained to her. I was like, listen, I don't have any ill will towards you. I was just trying to make the peace between the two and come up with a solution. Yeah. I explained my position. She still was upset. I kept speaking to her like I would any other day. And my kindness wore her down.
Wore her hatred down.
Her hatred, however you want to word it. I just don't believe that we should allow people to change us. If that's who you really are, I just don't think we should allow them to change
us. Yeah, but again, I'm just saying, you know.
You don't want to get shot.
No, I don't want to get shot. You know, and no, real life. Because I speak to everybody all the time. Everybody knows that Jay and I sit and we'll just sit there now. He'll be like, man, you. He knows I'm a friendly guy, right? He's like, you're a friendly-ass dude, right? But a lot of people joke about it.
Yeah.
You know, but Everybody knows I'm friendly. The problem is I got to start filling out the room again, like Jay said.
What yeah, room, of course.
Because I've spoken to people places where you, but nobody speaks to people. Right? Like mm-hmm. you go certain areas. Like I was down in Sanford the other day, mm-hmm. right? Off of 1792, and there's this little bodega place I go to sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to the guy, and the guy was like, and I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't do that over here. You know what I mean? Because, no.
I got you, but I was on the corner of Mercy and 50 again. Before the show, and I spoke to everybody in that little Chevron.
Again, but the point is, that's okay. I'm just saying, I'm starting to look at it differently. And you might want to pay attention a little more,
too. I think you should always kind of gauge the room. Yeah, I mean, that's just wisdom.
But I think you'd also lighten a rough setting. If you walk in, especially 6'3", 290, you walk in and everybody's got that mean mug look, and you're just like, hey, man, what's up, everybody? How y'all doing? I'm just giving you a cold pop.
You can change the temperature.
Let me get a cold soda. I'm rolling.
Let me just say this, too.
They can change the temperature.
I am tired of when I do people. Y'all don't understand how many people call me for stuff. You hear me? And I've created this situation that it's like, I'm tired. You know what I mean? And you ask.
Just because they called on me, you
got
to listen.
But you got. So this nice guy that created. You know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, I'm tired, Holly. You know what I mean? It's like, and you when you're nice to people, I see people who are assholes and they just go on about their life all day. Like, you know, don't nobody say nothing to them. They don't say nothing to nobody, right? Sometimes I feel like I want to be that dude, you know what I mean, that don't nobody speak to. You know what I mean? I want to be able to go to a restaurant. Holly, you know what I'm saying, right? And just go sit over exactly there, don't nobody even bother me.
But usually you're the one they engage in.
I done did it too much, and that's
what I'm saying. You go crazy. You back in the restaurant, shaking, not talking to nobody.
Walk into a space and not engage. You're the engager.
I don't want
to. The first time you walked in our shop, people thought he owned it. And then they were like, oh, he's really your uncle? Because all the kids are like, Uncle Don.
You're the engager.
No. I'm tired, though, for real.
Take a break.
That's what I'm saying.
Take 2 weeks off. Go somewhere.
No, I'm tired of people talking.
Turn the phone off. Go for a break.
No, I don't need a break. I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of talking to people. That's what I'm not on the radio, because look, it's hard to go somewhere. Like, I start putting my headphones in even if the battery was dead. You know what I mean? I was a guy sitting there with some headphones on. They like, I'm like, I'm on a call. Okay? I'm on a Zoom. You know what I mean?
But
you still want to be out and about.
I think it's kind of unfair, though. Yeah. I think it's kind of unfair and disingenuous because you create that climate. And then once you create the climate, then you're like, oh, I'm tired. I don't want to talk to y'all. But you're the engager in the conversation.
But he started.
Right, hey, listen, right. Are you feeling me? You understand what I'm saying, Holly?
And he's going to offend more. You know how many people he's going to offend when he stops talking? And then I saw Dolly the other day. He wouldn't talk to me. He must be mad at me.
Yeah, look, the older people used to say, don't start something you can't continue.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So you created that environment. And now,
Don.
Right. Now you're trying to be like, oh, I don't want to talk no more.
And if you ain't got enough to share with everybody in the room, don't pull it out.
And if you don't want to communicate with people, stay at home. No, or go somewhere.
Wait, if you ain't got enough, what now, Jonathan? If you ain't got what?
If you ain't got enough to share with everybody in the room, don't pull it out.
Don't pull it out.
That's good,
Don. Give it to yourself.
That's good, man. Let me just say this, guys, in real life. I'm just watching people now more than ever before, you know? And I used to look out for people. Now I look out for people. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Yeah.
And it's just tough because I think right now everybody's going through it. And there are people who are going through it really ain't got nobody to talk to. Those are the people we really should be concerned about, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So
I agree with that.
I recognize who those people are, and I reach out to those people.
That's
because
cool.
There are people going through it right now, ain't got nobody to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they all locked up, and they're going to fire off one day.
All locked up, and they're going to fire off one day. And I think from a humanitarian standpoint, I just think we just got to start focusing on helping people and paying attention to people, because there is nothing worse than having a friend who you sat with for 2 hours the night before, and they hang themselves the that night they go home. You sit there, everything's cool. I didn't dig deep enough. That's my fault. You follow me? I saw some things, but
didn't bring it up.
Didn't want to offend her. And I even had mentioned it to D'Amica. I was like, D, we need to take her out, hang out with her. And so
and she killed herself that night.
She called me. We hung out, and I went to the crib, and we talked. We was there for like 2 hours. We went to Finnegan's for 2 hours. I invited D'Amica, and I was like, D, we got to go hang out with her. And she left. She said, all right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I got an early shift because she was a nurse. She'd go at 7. Mm. 2 days later, she hung herself that night. You remember D'Amica?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, and it was like, Don, looks like you were the last person she was with.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, because she left me about 10. She had to go home because she'd be at the hospital at 7. And I sat there. We laughed. We talked. And I saw a couple of things. But I didn't want to, as a friend, sometimes right, you got to dig. You got know what to. I mean? So yeah. I saw a couple of things. She said a couple of things. But I'm like, girl, you crazy. No, she was not.
She was calling out.
And I missed the signs. So after that, I amped up friendly. Remember, D'Amica? I just really became friendly. I just friendly Don, right? But we got to pay attention. There are people out here hurting really badly. There are people out here are living in scenarios where they don't see a way out.
And that mostly a lot of they call it functional depressants.
Mm-hmm.
They function in everyday life. They're not the ones that are withdrawn. They've disconnected, mm-hmm. disassociated. But mm-hmm. these are the ones, the professional ones, mm-hmm. And they perform at a high level. They call it functional depressants.
Yeah.
One of the it caught me by surprise as well. But his demeanor was always off. But there was one of the owners of the Gold's Gyms. There were like three different locations. Mm-hmm. These guys owned all three of them. And he was the one that was the compliance person. But his demeanor always looked off. Yeah. And then when I found out he committed suicide, I was like, wow.
The ones that actually could commit suicide, I learned this working through the prison system and stuff. They don't say the words, I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, no, no, no.
The ones that run around hollering about, I'm going to kill myself. They're just fishing. They're looking for, right? But that young lady, I'm not trying to put pressure on you. Please don't take the conversation the wrong way. She was saying, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to end something. She was just using other words because she was serious. She already had a plan to kill herself.
But
she was just hoping somebody could hear her.
But she had high functioning depression.
Yeah, no, right. I get it. Yeah. I guess the reason I brought it up is to say, as a friend, when you're in that friend setting, how do you know when to stop or do you not stop? You just get abrasive and say, hey, we're going to keep talking. You ain't going home tonight. I see something's going on.
I mean, I think if you're really close friends, I think that you go deeper. And I guess I say that because I've been that person. So I know what it looks like and sounds like. And you don't even have to say much to me. I just know that spirit.
Okay.
So I'm not hesitant at all to get inside somebody's head. You know what I mean?
That's good.
So I think that if you're really genuine friends with somebody, if anything at all seems off, I think that you as a friend should take the liberty to go there, even if it offends them. But most likely it's not going to offend them,
though. Holly, save them.
Holly, yeah,
Holly, absolutely. Have you ever tried to intervene?
I've
been through this before, mm-hmm. In a couple of different scenarios, and everybody is right. And that's the thing, is that what Jonathan is saying is right, what D'Amica is saying is right, what you're saying is right. The situations are always different.
Mm-hmm.
They're always different. There's sometimes, like you said, like Don, here he is, you know, feeling something but not sure. But it didn't kick in that this is desperate, that this lady is ready to end it all.
Right.
That didn't quite kick in, but because in your mind you go, I don't want that to happen. That's not going to happen. It can't be that serious. And then it is. And like Jonathan said before, people that tend to commit these situations are people that don't really talk about it. They don't bring it up. They're not going, oh, they're not threatening everybody. Oh, I'm going to kill myself and do something to myself. They just end up doing it. And it's a scary situation that people don't can't catch on to it. Everybody can't catch it, Don. I mean, and that's not your fault or anything like that.
This is also what I believe, too. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Yes.
So anytime somebody says something, even if they try to laugh it off, or I believe it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
So the ones out there fishing, it seems like, I'm going to kill myself tonight. If you don't do so, I'll kill myself. You think they're just, you think they really mean it in their heart?
No, some of them are not quite there yet, and they're looking for attention. Okay. So there are some that are attention seekers, but the ones that are usually, like you said, the ones that are usually made up in their minds, they're not going to be as blatant about it. They use different language.
Okay, I got
the
you.
The high functioning you. People, that's why I call it functional depressants. The high functioning people, they are going to say it, but they say it differently.
Right, and that's how you have, that's why you have to know your friends.
Right,
and
exactly.
Wow, he's
exactly.
using language he's never used before. Or she's
do you deal with this a lot? Do you deal with it a lot? Yeah, with the elderly, because I know dealing with elderly.
So let me be honest with you.
Come and go at times.
I was diagnosed as a chronic depressant when I was a teenager. So okay. I have dealt with psychiatrists. I have dealt with that issue for a really, really long time until my adult years is when I really got a grasp of it. So whenever I encounter people, because I dealt with it for so many years, I know it right off the back.
So I'm looking in the mirror, you see it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's why I'm really more familiar with it, not necessarily with dealing. I do see it in the seniors, but I'm really familiar with it because I've dealt with it for many, many years.
Most seniors, though, I don't have the experience yet. They live with their depression. They're not trying to kill themselves at that age, are they?
Actually, suicide among the elderly is up pretty significantly right now.
Really?
Yes. And usually it's because of onset dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Usually when they start to decline like that, they get really depressed and they will kill themselves.
Okay. But you know what's interesting? If anybody out there is listening to us, and you are suffering from depression or even having these type of thoughts, you could just text 988. That is the suicide prevention line. Somebody's there to talk to you. 988. Just press
988.
988.
Or don't be scared to call somebody.
Please don't.
Call your friend, your mama, your daddy, your brother. Call. If you ain't got nobody, talk to the man at the grocery store.
Just text 988. I'm telling you, somebody will answer the phone.
It's a lie from the devil.
Respond to you immediately.
Absolutely.
Suicide is from the devil. They trick people, and I'm sorry if that bothers you, but that's the truth.
It is the truth.
It's taking life. God says, I give you life, and life more abundantly. I put in my Holy Spirit in you. I made you in my image. The devil says, nope, I want you out, and he convinces you to kill yourself. That's not a natural feeling. Yes, it's real to you if it happens. I've dealt with depression in our family. I had a cousin kill himself. Mm-hmm. Amy's grandpa shot himself, but it was over dementia. He had schizophrenia and dementia, yep. And he actually called his wife in the room to watch it. Mm-hmm. She come around the corner and boom, he did it. I mean, it was bad. But reach out to somebody. Just your life is so valuable.
Yeah, you know what? And I think you guys just convinced me to stay the way I am because you're right. You're speaking to people. You never know. You know,
absolutely. Sometimes a smile will change somebody's whole.
Yeah.
That old lady at the grocery store that her knuckles turned white when I spoke to her, that was not a natural reaction. I was 8 feet from her.
Mm-hmm.
But I messed her whole psyche up.
Yeah, because there's people are scared.
I may have been the only person that talked to her that day.
But John, the people are scared.
Oh, you think you're scared of me?
People, no. look, I'm telling you, people are afraid. And we should be afraid. We should be paying attention at a very high level, more than ever before.
I think we
before.
Should be paying attention. I don't think we should be afraid.
No, maybe that ain't the right word. Let me tell you why.
Aware.
Definitely aware. Heightened awareness.
Right, okay. Yes. That's what I meant. And thank you. Mm-hmm. And I just think, I think people really got to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting ready to be some things happening and engage. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, it's all over the. If you can't see it, you're blind. Just look at what's going on.
We were
in
saying that
campuses.
The other day. Yeah. It's blatant.
Look at the
right
drastic
now.
Turn on American society toward Israel.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how long you can say nothing's doing in the sun. America's been bad since the beginning. We ain't never, as a people, doing what we're doing now, to two countries where the terrorist has become the good guy,
right?
And
that's
the victim.
What we talked about yesterday.
And we got to save Hamas and the terrorists.
All of a sudden, the bully is the victim,
and the Jewish professor can't get on campus to teach school no more because he's Jewish. They have flipped the script as a nation, and God said,
"Those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed."
Now, just we in trouble, folks.
Listen to what you guys are saying. This is really heavy. If people don't see, and I guess this is set up.
Yes. This is orchestrated.
A blatant orchestrated angle being taken. For what reason, I don't know. But let me just say something. But this is why I take issues with the Christian church.
I was about to say that.
Okay. I got issues with them too.
I take issues with the Christian church.
Especially in America.
In America. Let me tell you why. The Christian church has become some bitches.
Yep, and they failed us.
Okay, and let me just say why I say this. When I use that term bitch, soft, just give, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Okay?
They're not taking a stand.
They have failed us.
Hold on, wait, D'Amica, listen. This is why people are afraid. This is why older people are afraid. Older Jesus lovers are afraid.
Yeah,
they're the more real afraid ones. Than anybody. Right? Because they've read that book. Listen to me. Slow down. I wanted to go into this.
Mm.
This is why older people who committed their lives to Jesus Christ at 10 years old in the deep south, in the north, if you look at the number of older people, black and white, no matter what the conversation or what direction it was in, it's a commitment to Jesus Christ, right?
Yes.
And they read that book. They read that whole book.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're seeing.
Yes.
What the same thing on the news.
Is in the book.
It's in the book.
Now, listen, stay with me, right? Now, to many of us, that don't amp us up. To many people who are biblically illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get amped up.
Exactly.
But for those people who read that book and know what that means and respects that book and holds that book up, they're frightened. They don't know who to trust because now this fight has started over there, intertwined the world, and now the bad guy is the good guy?
Right.
Do you understand the level of confusion?
Yes.
But that's also in the book as well. And I know we got to break.
I know. Wait.
We got a lot to talk about. Are you over this?
I know, right?
One leg on the sea, one foot on the land.
The intricate parts of this conversation that the media is not sharing with us.
Right.
Is that there are hundreds of millions of people who actually read that book.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go to break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
You know, sometimes some people speaking like, it's OJ and I'm here. Like you turn into Larry Flint, like as you get older. And then that's when they know you're going.
Maxwell is me, yours too. Boy, what a beautiful day it is here in Las Vegas.
To me, I mean, Dan, you're a doctor.
He looks great.
He doesn't look like he's on death's doorstep here.
No, I mean, he would out debate Biden here.
The Love Sponge, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. East, 5 Central on Florida Man Radio. Back to the Don Miller Show on Florida Man Radio.
Hey. Oh, man, here we go.
What's the matter?
This is my grandma's favorite song.
No, no.
I don't even know what this is.
I do.
I can't hear the song.
I don't do know.
You still
How do you not know?
Who is this?
Walk with me.
Oh yeah, I hear me.
Walk with me, Lord. Is that the
Thank you so much, everybody.
Walk with me.
I couldn't hear it.
Walk with me.
It was just too much other stuff going on, probably in the background.
Oh,
but yes,
okay.
I remember that very well. Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. Coming up 2 p.m. the Shannon Burke Show. Following us. The Shannon Burke Show tomorrow, Bubba the Love Sponge in the morning, and in the evening, Of course, we have Jesse Kelly, Saturday, 4 to 6. Jonathan, Between the Ribs.
Yes, sir.
And let's get back to this conversation because it stems off a conversation. You want? Let's grab these open mics.
Because yeah, they're going to be off topic if you don't grab them now.
Go quickly.
Hey, y'all. We got Cocoa Butter Miller, Juicy Holloman, Gonzo, Rapper Kane. Ironically, we're talking about the whitest white people in the world, Stedman, king of the island of Caucasus. And did I hear Jonathan Morris on there? Morris Mafia, baby. What's up, y'all? It's G off, Tamika's future husband.
Nice.
Sorry, I only caught about 5 seconds of the show, but I wanted to give a shout-out to y'all and be-do, baby. Hey, y'all. We got Cocoa Butter Miller.
Oh, that's the same one.
Hey, this is Mark in Orlando, and I don't know if you guys have that clip or not of those two girls that got interviewed at the NYU school yesterday. They had no idea why they were there protesting. All they had to say was they got a text from when they were at Columbus protesting saying that the NYU students needed their help. It makes no sense. Half of them don't know why they're there. And I also want to say, after 9/11, y'all didn't realize that.
Thank you so much, everybody. Welcome back to the show. That was heck of a way to roll into this conversation, but you know,
yeah, just, no, that's done.
No, I was just thinking with I was speaking with an older lady recently, and I hope she's listening, Miss Ross. She's 88, mm-hmm. And I check on the old people. Tamika know that a lot, and she's 88 years old. I love her so much. Her husband went on a few years ago, and she just doesn't like to go out of the house. Because she says she's scared. And let me just say this.
Yeah, right? That's a lot of seniors.
And let me just say this. She's scared because this is what they do, guys. What old people do. Older black people, older white people as well. From the South, for sure. They watch the news and they read that book.
That's right.
Now, the news in that book is running neck and neck.
You overlap them.
You follow me, Tamika?
Mm-hmm.
The book says something when she read the book, the first time she read the book at 10 years old, 78 years ago, Ms. Ross read that book, and that book talked about homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Men becoming women and women becoming men.
Put on clothes of each other's type.
Right? She read that in that book,
mm-hmm.
78 years
ago. Deuteronomy.
If you go down the list of the things she has read in that book, that she has seen come to pass, not from a history book or an Encyclopedia Britannica, right? Not from a history book or Encyclopedia Britannica, but from the book, that word of God that they gave her at 10 when she was going to Sunday school, okay, at Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church in Kosciuszko, Mississippi.
Yeah.
She read all this in that book. Well, she worked at the white folk house and pressed their clothes in the 60s, okay, in the 50s. She was in that book. When she went home from working for these people. Being treated terribly.
Yes, no, you're right. Yeah.
She went home to
that
book.
She stood on the rock of Jesus in that
book. She went home to that book. That book is all that saved her, that made her.
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes, I agree 100%.
And there are many of these people. There are many Miss Rosses, okay, and Mr. Willie Earl. There are many of the Bobs. And the Joannes. There are many of these people, guys, who everything about this world has come from that book.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're turning on the news. And they're watching the news and the news in that book. The news in that book. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, it's making sense. I'm so glad I trusted this book.
Mm-hmm.
The book, look at this book. What's happening right now?
Everything is unfolding.
But can I speak?
It's frightening.
Can I speak?
So they're afraid.
Ross?
Yeah.
So the homosexuality thing, the men putting on women's clothes, women putting men's clothes, Solomon saying there's nothing new all under the sun, mm-hmm. all that, right? Prophecies coming up. What scares Miss Ross the most, the same thing my daddy talks about, is when you get to the part of people turning on God's chosen people, Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But worse than that, you ready? You will hear of wars and rumors of wars.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times are we fighting back and forth? Is there really a war with Russia? You know, and is there really a war over there? We don't see nothing on the TV. We ain't seeing dead bodies. Is there? So there's wars. There's rumor of wars. You have Hamas in Israel. You have Iran maybe now getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the wars, the rumor of wars, that is the peace that unfolds.
Yeah, all the,
for all this to come together.
Right. Those pieces have always been here, been there. The wars we've said, and we've had several wars.
Mm-hmm. But the rumor and the way it's playing out with Israel now and Iran.
That, the piece that's different. Is Israel
and the nations that are starting to gather against?
Yes, the nation, the piece that's different is Israel and the nations gathering against her.
Yes.
So that,
again, guess where y'all got this from?
The book. And why is that book the only thing they don't let in schools? They let you read about a little boy's thing and undressing Billy and undressing Bobby.
Because you got to remember that the book is a vision. That's the believer's television.
Yes.
The non-believers' television is that television, that's exactly. So there's two visions unfolding.
They're preachers. They're high priests. The people they pay their tithe.
Hey, drop us an open mic. Let me just say this real quick. You know, so when I talk about, and she told me the story, she was like, "Baby, I just don't even want to go. You know, I don't want to go on there." She's like, "I call my daughter and just have her send me this Instacart, right?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, she was like, because you can't trust nobody.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you can't trust nobody.
And that's a sad day when the book tells us to be love our neighbors, pray for our enemies.
She moved here from New Jersey, right? And talked about how horrible it is and crime in New Jersey when they came here, right? And she said, nah, you just can't trust nobody. And she says it all the time. So I'm going to just stay in the house. And how often are you seeing that, Demeek?
Yeah, quite often.
And then again, the media is a part of this propaganda machine to scare these people too. Let's be clear, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Listen, the media scared my mama, 74. Sorry, mama. My mama's 74. They scared her so bad during COVID. Now, my mom got prayed on by the preacher and the elder of the church, and she beat cancer twice. And cancer is not in her body. Mm-hmm. God healed my mama. Mm-hmm. But the TV had her so scared. She made my daddy rent a $5,000 tent with plastic around it. And we always do, let me say that, we always do Christmas Eve at my mama's house. That's a fact. Everybody alive at the Morris family, you better be at my mama's house on Christmas Eve. 2 years ago was the first time ever my mom sat on the other side of a sliding glass door with my dad with a mask and goggles on. And we were on the other side of a sliding glass door inside of a plastic tent because she was so scared. She's like, Jonathan, you're around too many people at the market. I don't want to die yet. I want to watch my grandbabies grow up. I was like, Mama, Jesus saved you. He healed you. You don't got cancer. Yeah. COVID ain't going to kill you. We kissed each other through a glass door. And my mama.
But again, though, so.
If you go back to that book, we all also have to remember they're trying to instill fear.
Yes.
But the book says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit.
Come on.
So anybody who believes that word, if fear is trying to interject itself into your life, into your heart, into your mind, you have to know that's not from him.
You got to bind
that's,
it.
That's
cast
the
it
other
out.
One. Yes. That's the other dude.
I'm glad you brought it up because people get weird about this Jesus spiritual thing. But there's only two spirits working. A good one and a bad one.
Light and dark.
That's it.
Light
and dark. It's two ways.
It's only two parties.
And you know what? The book sums it up the best. It's either a Holy Spirit or a unholy spirit.
But the interesting thing is I want to get back to the fear y'all in here having church. You know,
Well, if you're talking about fear, you're really still talking about church.
Well, we need to get people to understand you got to check fear at the door.
Right.
And live on the promise of the book.
That's easy.
That if Miss Ross got knocked off tomorrow at the grocery store, she'll be standing face to face with Jesus.
But that's easier said than done.
I know. Listen, I'm not
judging.
But
we got to say it.
Well, I'm not judging.
You got to say it
because if you don't, people don't know.
But there's a battle, guys.
Of course it is.
There's a battle for the attention of these people.
Yes.
There's a battle for
it's a battle for your heart and your mind.
So how does the church take it back?
You get the attention first. You can't get the heart and mind without.
How does the church get the attention back without having stripper poles and guys swallowing swords?
Oh, my goodness. You saw that.
Brother, listen to me.
How do you get it back without doing all that crap?
The church got to get some balls.
Well, make me a preacher. Build me a church.
No, you got to hear what I'm saying now.
You are the church.
Okay, but let me just say this. Right now, money has infiltrated the word of God at a level unlike ever before.
Now, you blew me away when you taught me that the churches take money from the federal funding to say, I didn't know that.
Riches, Holly, right?
Well, once the government start giving you money, then you manipulate it.
Right. Yeah. And
but
so,
did you hear what D'Amica said though? She's point on is that we're the church. Every person is the church. And that's where it starts. I mean, that's where it all
guess
to
what they you know who told us that every person was the church? The book. The problem is the separation between the book and the people now.
Yes.
This is why all the old heads are looking at what's happening differently than these younger people.
Right. Because the young people, when they go to church, they get entertained.
Yeah.
The older people, when they used to go to church, they actually read the book.
But you know, I ain't bragging, but in our church on a given Sunday morning, I'm one of about 10 that have a Bible.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The rest of them,
it's on their phone.
No, forget the phone. The rest of we have a good preacher. Right. All right, Pastor Shelley's a good preacher. The rest of them trust the big screen.
Right.
And whatever
they're
verse
not looking at the
that he puts up there, and they read that, and they're like, what? He could put Sam went to jail, and they'll be like, what? Well, that's in Ecclesiastes.
No,
I'm saying.
They don't go check.
They don't go to the word of God.
But the point is this, right? When we look at the way people are walking around nowadays, the crisis in the world. This is a world crisis.
Absolutely.
I want people to understand. This is just not a Middle East crisis. This is a world crisis. Look at America.
Right? A global crisis.
I just use world. When you start saying global, I don't think people mean you're talking about the whole world. Let's be clear.
Okay.
No, I'm serious.
Well, we're global. No, wait.
Right. Okay. Tell me if I'm wrong, Holly. When you say global, I don't think people know you're talking about the world, right?
Okay.
Listen to
this. I'm confused.
No, you ain't. Just take your time. I'm going to take you there.
All right.
The fact of right now, mm-hmm. you could do a survey of young people and ask 10 of them, what does global mean?
Oh, I got you.
How many going to say the world?
Yeah.
None.
It'd be like America.
They're going to try to
North
make
America.
It. No, they're going to try to explain it in a term that, right? Just mm-hmm. say the world. Mm-hmm. So the fact of the matter is there's a world crisis.
Mm-hmm.
What happens right now in the Middle East is more important to us than Ukraine and Russia.
Yes.
I agree with that.
You follow me?
Yes.
Stay with me on this, right?
All right.
What happens to us out of this conflict is going to change the trajectory.
Everything.
Yes, on a world level.
Everything.
On a world level.
Yes. That's true. That's very true.
And this is why I'm trying to get people to understand and turn away from the propaganda. Ukraine and Russia, they'll figure it out. That'll be figured out.
Yeah.
When everybody get enough money, that'll go away.
Right.
Everybody get some contracts.
That's good.
Okay, yeah. Let's shift somewhere else.
Right.
But I need people to pay attention to what is going to change your trajectory and why it is important to really take some time and study what's happening in America on our soil at these liberal-ass institutions and who is behind it, who is funding this mechanism. I just want you to pay attention, guys. Hey, listen, thank you so much. It's time for us to go. And thank you, Jonathan.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Jonathan.